Hello, can people hear me now?
Yeah,
Can hear. Ah, perfect. Thanks.
Hello, everyone. How's it going?
Hey, Katie. I like your cardigan.
What's her?
I like your cardigan.
It's my mom's.
Oh, got a cool cardigan, and I really like it. So.
I stole it from my mom so much in high school, because in high school, I dressed like an elementary teacher way more than I do now, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And finally, one day she was like, I don't know if I like this anymore. And I was like, ha ha ha.
Really, how I used to get. Now I steal my dad's clothes, like the baggy, like shirts and stuff like that. It's really evolving. So.
Yeah, it's really hard to steal people's clothes, your family's clothes, when you don't live in the same city as them now.
Yeah, pros and cons, I guess, of living with your parents. So.
My sister still steals my clothes, though. Like, she took one of my headbands because she said we can't both wear headbands. It has to be her thing, not my thing.
I mean, that's true. I also agree with her. You can't wear headbands. That's
what? A real thing. I have a good head for headbands. We are down.
That's a thing, right?
Head the other day.
What, sorry?
I realized that I have a weird shaped head. So basically, when I was younger, I don't know if I told you this story. I got stitches on my head. So there's like 11 stitches somewhere. And I was like feeling my head for some reason, because I was thinking, like, what if I shaved my head? I'm never going to do it, because there's like a weird like slope to the back of my head. So that no one knows about.
That's so funny. I like came on Zoom and the first thing I heard was, I have a weird shaped head.
True.
Unfortunately. Told me in the 7th grade that I had a face for ponytails. And I'm like, honestly, that is the nicest compliment ever someone has ever given me.
Really?
It does not matter what my boyfriend tells me. It will never top that I look nice with ponytails in.
Is that like, what does that even mean? I don't even understand.
He's just like, my face is too square to wear a ponytail. This was also like the stereotypical mean 13-year-old. So it was like really powerful.
Right, everybody. Thank you. It is now 6:01 p.m. We're going to round things up here. Thank you all for tuning in tonight to Students Council. I hope you guys have had a good last 2 weeks. first things foremost, I'm just going to call the meeting to order at 6:01 p.m. And we'll start things off with a territory acknowledgement. And we would like to respectfully acknowledge that our university and our students' union are located on Treaty 6 territory. We're grateful to be on Cree, Dene, Salto, Métis, Blackfoot, and Nakota Sioux territory, specifically the ancestral space of the Papas Chase Cree. These nations are our family, friends, staff, students, and peers. As members of the University of Alberta Students' Union, we honor the nation-to-nation treaty relationship. We aspire for our learning, research, teaching, and governance to acknowledge and work towards the decolonization of Indigenous knowledges and traditions. Awesome. So with this, again, I hope you all have been well. Looking into the late additions, I'm going to just work to special order the motion that President Agarwal put forward for the die board appointments onto the main agenda. So we'll run that as item 7A today. And for the approval of the agenda as transcribed in the minutes, things look good, but I will call for any amendments if anybody saw any before we go through and start attendance. So, seeing none, I'm just going to pull up the chat here before we start attendance so I can catch anybody with the written responses. But President Agarwal, are you here?
Present.
Excellent. Thank you. Vice President Draper?
Present. Sorry about that. The mic was hidden.
No problem. Thank you. Vice President Lay?
Present.
Excellent. Vice President Cron?
Present.
Thanks. Vice President Kidd?
Present.
Thank you. Board of Governors, Representative Conrad?
Hello.
Hello. Councillor Carbajal? Perfect. Thank you. Councillor Dixon? Councillor Dixon, are you here tonight? Councillor DeGrano? Perfect. Councillor Marquez?
Present.
Thank you. Councillor Oliveira? Councillor Oliveira, are you here with us?
Present.
Oh, perfect. Thank you. Councillor Veloso? Perfect. Councillor Yabut? Perfect. Councillor Berhani? Councillor Berhani, are you here? Councillor Saretsky?
Present.
Thank you. Councillor Ackerman reported his absence. Councillor Baticki?
Here.
Thank you. Councillor Bid?
Present.
Thank you. Councillor Bose?
Here.
Excellent. Councillor Hari Haran? Thank you. Councillor Montero?
Present.
Excellent. Councillor Buchanan? Perfect. Thank you. Councillor Filipovich? Councillor Filipovich, are you here tonight? Proxy for Councillor Brandwine?
Present.
Excellent. Also, would you mind just registering your name into the chat so we can record it for the minutes?
Of course, I'll just...
Thank you. Councillor Enerson?
Present.
Thank you. Councillor Badesha? Councillor Badesha, are you here? Okay. Councillor Barazash? Councillor Barazash? Councillor Dillon?
Here.
Thank you. Councillor Futang?
Present.
Councillor Kamani? Councillor Kamani, are you here? Councillor Corday? Councillor Corday, are you here? All right. I am here. Is Mark here tonight? Oh, excellent. Okay. So with that, I don't necessarily have any sort of administration updates for any of you, but we will move on to reports, going into executive committee reports. If any members of the executive committee would like to submit a verbal report, I will welcome them to do so by adding their name to the speakers list. And I will also ask that any additional members of council, I saw Mitchell signed in here, but any additional members of council, please just sign in by putting your name and association into the chat.
A point of order, Mr. Speaker.
Yes, Councillor Bose.
Did you approve the agenda and the minutes?
I did, yeah.
Okay, fine.
Excellent. Perfect. Thank you, Kadra. I saw your sign in there. But if I could call on any members of the executive committee to submit a report with their name on the speakers list. Vice President Draper, go ahead. I also noted the sign in from Natalie there.
Sounds good. Just wanted to double check because I didn't hear you mention that.
Okay.
Hello, everybody. My name is, well, I guess you all know my name. It's in the chat. I'm David. I'm VP Academic. I'm assuming you all have read my report, as I assume every week. This time I have a little test hidden in there, so hopefully you actually did. But similar to what I did a little while ago, I am hoping to kind of go off script today, because today is actually a really interesting international holiday. Today is International Non-Binary People's Day. Now, International Non-Binary People's Day celebrates the history and the history and existence of non-binary individuals. And it's something that I think is quite important to acknowledge as well as to celebrate, because gender has never been and is not binary. I'm gonna say that again, just for the people in the back, it has never been and it currently is not binary. There's been historical, a variety of gender expressions from across the board, from different parts of the world, and they continue to exist in various different cultures. That's why looking at something like queer anthropology is very important, to look at cultural expressions of gender across the board and why it's important to look at these things, because oftentimes those aren't actually brought up. Now, things to note with non-binary identities is that gender expression does not necessarily equal gender identity. So you can be dressing, acting however you want, and still identify as whatever you want and still be completely valid. And that's how it is. You can use the pronouns you want. You can change the pronouns you have even after the fact, and that is still valid. And it's important, I think, to acknowledge the fact that they, them pronouns are historically used in the English language and are continually used in the English language in day-to-day life. So that's kind of my quick thing on that. In work stuff, it's all in my report. If you have any additional questions, ask me during open forum or QP.
Thank you, Councillor Draper. And perfect timing. Vice President Lay, go ahead.
Sorry about that, Mr. Speaker. All right. So it's been probably the busiest couple weeks that I've had on the job so far, but we've also made some pretty good progress on a lot of issues. So first, we've done a lot of work on the maintenance grant amalgamation, which you will all be familiar with from last week. So we've been able to get a lot of media coverage of this issue. The opposition, so the leader of the opposition, Rachel Notley, and their advanced education critic have asked questions about this in the legislature and been retweeting or tweeting out most of our media content. We also have a bunch of students started a petition to reinstate the maintenance grant. So it's exciting to see that we're starting to get some grassroots traction with this issue as well. If you want to look at some of the news stories, you can find links in my report. And we're taking some next steps, including a letter to the minister's office from other major student groups and us asking for the reinstatement of the grant. Next, I got started on creating a federal Francophone education policy at the Canadian Alliance of Student Associations. I met with their policy director and policy development lead. They were enthusiastic about the idea. In probably a little over a year, we'll be able to start lobbying on this. We've also been working on the fall campaign that the Council of Alberta University Students is going to do. Today, we approved basic messages for that campaign. So the campaign is going to be called Relaunch with Education, and it's going to focus on how supporting university students is important to get out of the recession that we're in right now. Another important thing that happened since I submitted my report, as Councillor Bowes raised last week, there was a significant visa issue for many international students not being able to get the post-graduation work permit because of online classes. So today, after extensive CASA lobbying, the federal government announced they're making an exception for the next year, so that won't be a problem for international students. If anyone hears about other visa issues, please let me know and I will direct them to CASA's attention.
Excellent. Thank you, Vice President Lay. Vice President Cron, you're up on deck here.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Mr. Speaker. And hello again, everyone. Nice to be seeing you. Those of you who I can see on the little bar up there. Lots has been happening. It's certainly been a very heavy writing, planning kind of week, as well as a lot of meetings. So here we are. One of the main things, which I'm sure you're all dying to hear about, is the UPass. I personally am dying to hear updates on that as well. We are still working with ETS to try to come up with a solution for the fall. And we are hitting just a few, snags in terms of just communication and the back and forth and everything like that. And we are, we're sending them proposals, trying to make a solution happen. So thank you very much for your patience with that. In short, we don't know what's happening with fall yet at this point, but we are working on solutions for that and should be able to get back to you shortly. we have formed the negotiations team. There is one representative from each student's association present, so that's going to be exciting. So we're starting to really dig down on the work on our negotiating positions. That is like the specific items that we are sort of looking at, you know, pass fee amount, student exemptions, things like that for the next 4 years of that contract. So stay tuned. Lots of that's going to be coming up. Another thing that I've been working on that didn't make its way into the report was we met with Vice President Kidd and I met with Student Care today. We have been meeting with them pretty regularly to talk about the finalization of, you know, the health and dental plan going forward and what's going to be happening with that. As some of you hopefully know, we are working our way into a two-tier model this year, which is very exciting. So we're going to have a standard plan and a basic plan. And so there's going to be a more of an affordability aspect for students who maybe want to opt for something a little bit cheaper and don't feel they need as much coverage in certain areas. So that's pretty exciting. Lots of other stuff. Menstrual products initiative is happening. We met with Hempact this week, which is a student led organization that does sustainable, biodegradable menstrual products, which is very exciting. So yeah, just looking at the future of all of these fun plans. If you have any questions, please feel free to ask me. Thanks very much.
Excellent. Thank you, Vice President Kron. Vice President Kidd, go ahead.
All right. Hello, everybody. I hope you are doing well. So I have a lot to talk about, actually, that has developed in the last few days. But the first thing is, thanks to everyone's help, we had 28 applications for EDIT student at large position. So the EDI committee. I'm like shocked. I don't know if this has ever happened that we've gotten so many applications before. So first of all, my apologies to nominating committee because they have a lot of work to do. But beyond that, I am just so excited and I can't thank you all enough. This means so much to me. And I really hope that this committee can do great work. And I think having lots of applications is the first step there. Besides that, health and dental plan, I'm thinking probably by next council meeting, I'll be able to give you like the full plan update. I'm very excited. We've got a really cool new initiative coming, but it should be finalized in the next 2 weeks here. The other thing is the SU released a statement. You can check it on our social medias where we called for the university to re-examine how they deal with complaints, whether that's harassment, sexual violence, racism, things like that. And President Agarwal and I will be meeting with Bill Flanagan on Thursday to discuss this. This is a huge win for the SU. It is a thing that we are taking very seriously. Students should not be made to feel unsafe or that they are being targeted by whomever on university campuses. So meeting with Bill, I think, shows the commitment the university has to changing this issue. And this will be an issue that we will be pursuing throughout the year in various different mechanisms. So I'm pretty excited for that meeting and I will update you all next council. Beyond that, as Vice President Kron mentioned, we had some meetings about menstrual products and I've been working quite a bit just to kind of wrap up the current stage of EDI and wrap up the health and dental plan. And then we'll be moving forward with some new initiatives. So I'm pretty excited. It's a busy time, but it's going well.
Excellent. Thank you, Vice President Kidd. President Agarwal, let's finish this off.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I'll just add on to what has been said already. I think it's been really quite busy. I don't think any of us anticipated how challenging a lot of the situations are going to be with COVID, with a lot of the reopening. There's a lot of, thinking on our feet and adapting to the situations ahead of us. So it's been exciting. It's been challenging. Just to reiterate what VP Lay said, the maintenance grant amalgamation has been picking up a lot of social media attention. So if you're interested in sharing that, I think that'll be great in pushing for the government to actually and the public to hear more about this and get the ball rolling there. There was a statement by the Government of Canada temporarily changing some of the policies for international students. So until August 31st, 2020, international students can work more than 20 hours per week, along with a lot of other benefits. So we're quite happy there and continuing to push for better supports for international students at the University of Alberta. The Presidential Transition Committee is a committee that I am a part of, working with the university to transition and install the new president now, Bill Flanagan, who is to be transitioned. I think the date is sometime in September. So I'm very excited to be doing that and building the relationship with the Students' Union and the university, while also making it clear as to what our advocacy is and what our asks are for the year. In terms of COVID reopening for the fall semester, I'm working very closely with admin, keeping those communication lines open to ensure that we're taking the best approaches to for students who are going to be on campus or potentially learning in an online setting. So working very heavily there. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, President Agarwal. So that'll conclude our executive committee reports, and we'll move on to board and committee reports. So with that, just like usual over Zoom, I will call upon the committee and then just ask for a designate from that committee to speak on behalf of the workings of that committee over the past 2 weeks. So we will start things off with the Aboriginal Relations and Reconciliation Committee.
Okay, so I guess I'll do the little spiel. So we met just a few days ago or yesterday, and we've confirmed the meeting for time moving forward will be on Fridays from 4 to 5 p.m., so we have our meeting schedule set up. I'm still serving as interim chair for the time being because we are working together to improve, I guess, our marketing campaign of how we're outreaching within the community to get student at-larges, because we weren't super successful with applications for student at-larges. So I guess we're just collaborating. If anyone has any ideas on, I guess, how to make that more successful, you can always send me a message. But yeah, that's everything for ARC at the moment. So thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Councillor Dillon. And audit committee.
Okay, so I can do that one too. So for audit at the moment, we haven't met recently, but our chair, Councillor Badesha, has reached out to many of the faculty associations and whatnot just to gain that initial relationship. So we're just waiting on their responses.
Excellent. Thank you, Councillor Dillon, again. Bylaw committee.
Hello, Bylaw Committee is doing well. We met last week and we discussed the moving the second principles of some of the amendments we made to Bylaw 2100 and 2200, which you'll be voting on tonight. And we discussed emergency provisions for this fall term and how we will go about changing some bylaws so that the CRO is able to execute a strong and stable by-election. And we're also just began discussing issues relating to translation committee and beginning seeing how we can improve the status of translation committee. Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you, Councillor Fotang. Coming up next, Council Administration Committee.
Hello, everyone. I hope you're doing well. So the CAC just met. Oh yeah, and we received the counselor's jackets, we received the samples, and hopefully the people who came to see them like them. If you have any questions, please reach out to the people who came. And I sent an email earlier. If you want to make any changes, please do so. I will be closing the responses soon so that we can finalize and we can place the order. And at CAC, we have been discussing about council engagement activities. So we've looked at Jackbox. It's a platform where you can play games with each other online. And we want to thank VP Draper and VP Lay for sharing their packages with us. And we'll be sharing more details about that with everyone. We've also been talking about WoW and Tawau, the presentation. And the other thing is council videos. I had spoken about this earlier. We will be coming back to you soon because we need councillors to make videos about themselves, about their experiences, what they do at council, so that we can reach the students and encourage them to be a part of council. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Councillor Bid. The Executive Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So the executive committee has been meeting quite regularly. We have been working, made a lot of great progress on our executive goals. We will be presenting our goals as an executive committee to council at the next meeting for feedback and for thoughts about that. So excited to hear about any thoughts from you folks. Marketing for and social media presence has been a conversation that we've been having and engaging with. So we're going to be increasing our social media presence on the Facebook UASU executive page, as well as our Instagram and Twitter, to really have a better presence, especially in an online environment when a lot of students are really not on campus, to see what's happening in those senses. We've been working closely with some of our staff with Week of Welcome and New Student Orientation. A lot of that's going to be looking quite different this year in an online setting. So some of the executives have been recording podcasts with our staff. There's modules, there are different e-class sessions and webinars that are going to be happening this fall for first year students. So very excited to see that transition to an online environment. But apart from that, the executive committee is always available for virtual coffees. So if you ever want to reach out, definitely reach out. On a side note, I have to comment on Councillor Fotang's background. It looks very interesting as usual. Thanks a lot.
Excellent. Thank you, President Agarwal. Finance Committee.
Hello. So Finance Committee met this week, sort of on a one-off meeting switch. So thank you again, Finance Committee, for being flexible with that. Something that a couple things have happened. One of which is that I met with a member of CAC to go over sort of the goals for Finance Committee and where we've been at in terms of hitting those goals and everything. And that was nice to meet with Councillor Fotang to do that. As well, we have been having preliminary discussions on Finance Committee's role in supporting DFUs regarding their reporting and mandates. Just some preliminary discussions around how we can be helping out and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, that's basically it. Looking forward to meeting again to do some more. Oh, one other thing that is coming up is that tomorrow is the meeting of the Golden Bears and Pandas Legacy Fund Committee. So two of the members of Finance Committee will be joining me at that. So that should be exciting.
Thank you, Vice President Karan. Nominating Committee.
All right, I don't put in the chat. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay.
So Nominating Committee is currently in the process of doing interviews for the Senate. And we also have received 28 new applications for EDI Task Force, as well as 7 applications for the Sustainable and Capital Fund Committee. So we will be adjudicating those this Friday. And hopefully we'll have people for ratification for the next council meeting.
And thank you, Vice President Draper. Policy Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Hi, everybody. I hope you're doing well. So Policy Committee met on Tuesday last week, where we approved the terms of reference for the campus policing policy that we've been working on, as well as...
Put the towel down on the floor,
please. Sorry, one second here. Apologies, my dad was talking in the background. So we approved the terms of reference for the student or campus policing policy, as well as approved the bringing of first principles for the student financial assistance policy to council to read today. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Councillor Montero. Coming up next here, we have Sustainability Committee.
I believe the chair, there isn't a chair. Which is why nobody has said anything. But I believe the Sustainability Committee is meeting on Thursday. They're meeting on Thursday for the first meeting now that these student at large positions have been filled.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear. And Translation Committee, would you like to submit a report?
Yes, please.
For sure.
So as far as Translation Committee is going, we brought up some stuff to Bylaw Committee last Wednesday. We're working to have some standing orders done, as well as just making some changes, which once again, we're going to be discussing next week, once again at Bylaw Committee. I just wanted to follow up on something that Councillor Bid had mentioned at the last student council meeting, I followed up with Kristen about the minutes and standing orders of, you know, translation committee in the past. I want to give a huge shout out to Kristen. She was able to find some of the minutes. However, the standing orders are still MIA. And so because of that, Councillor Oliveira and I are going to be going ahead, working those out and passing them through bylaw committee. Beyond that, I can't think of too much else. We're hopeful to get this committee going, making it actually properly work and getting everything translated and accessible. Thank you very much.
Excellent. Thank you, Councillor Inosen. Undergraduate Board of Governors, Representative Conrad.
Yes, hello. I was just quickly looking through my calendar, some key things, right? Because as I said in my report, we haven't met in 2 weeks. I do have a call with the president next Monday. So far, to my understanding, there is no set agenda by him. So we'll just have some time to get to know each other and definitely kind of parse out where priorities lie and where we can go from there. We do have a board meeting the following Friday. That's next Friday. So I'll begin preparing for that. I have my report up. Where did I put it? Here it is. Okay. So social media, just final thoughts there. And again, I'd really appreciate feedback for those who are social media savvy. We're thinking meeting minute highlights, open session agenda items, info on current events at U Alberta, and then potentially some more personal takes on Twitter, giving hopefully an informed opinion on where maybe things are going, should go, could go. We'll see how that looks. Podcast was very fun. It was rich. I felt it was valuable. I was able to talk about BOG, how board members don't forget about students, how BOG supports first-year students, and why student governance is so valuable, which was a phenomenal reflection for myself as well. And then international student representation, I'm going to meet with ISA President Champreet Singh, and that's, I believe, the 23rd. I'm meeting with him, so really excited to develop a strat plan there. I've already sat down with VP Lea a little bit when we initially developed some thoughts there, and so those are good as well, but I'm just, you know, a few more voices in that space that they'll be good to develop. And then Indigenous student representation as well. I'm going to work with different people in ARC to develop a proposal that I can then bring to the board Learning, Research, and Student Experience Committee, where we can ask for Indigenous representation in that space and why that would be valuable. So that'll be interesting to market too.
Excellent. Thank you, Board of Governors, Representative Conrad. Councillor Bid, I do see your note here in the chat. I'm just going to ask that you submit that as a statement during question period. Just that board and committee reports are meant for like official committees of council. And it would be more fitting for the minutes in the, like as a statement during question period. But with that, that will conclude the board and committee reports. So we'll go into open forum. And just as a reminder for everybody, open forum is for guests of council to submit 30-second questions or 2-minute statements. Each person has three speaking turns, and all questions have 2 minutes to respond. So with that, I will welcome the speakers list. Perfect. Mitchell, do you want to go ahead there?
Definitely. Hey, everyone. For my question for Vice President Kidd is just, I know you mentioned in your report you are doing revisions to the health and dental plan. I was wondering to what extent mental health, to what extent has expanded coverage for mental health services been considered in these revisions?
Vice President Kidd, go ahead.
A lot. I have the big update, the really exciting thing is actually about mental health, but the plan's just not like 100% confirmed. Like we're just finishing it. So I just don't want to speak to it today because I, just in case something unexpectedly changes in the next day. Can I answer your question next council meeting when it will be confirmed so that I'm correct?
Definitely, 100%.
Sweet.
Excellent. And Natalie, you had a question as well?
Yes, I have a question for VP Lay. I was wondering, well, first of all, I'd like to thank VP Lay for all the advocacy that he's been doing for Francophone education and for CSJ students. However, my question is, how come when speaking to the ACUFC, when the meeting with Pierre-Yves and talking about the federal Francophone education policy, why no actual CSJ students were involved in these talks or spoken to for this advocacy?
Vice President Lay, go ahead.
Hi, Natalie. Thanks very much for the question. So as you know, we have a CSJ political policy, which is meant to guide our advocacy. This policy was created after intensive consultation with CSJ students by Adam Brown, the former VP External, who was himself a CSJ student. The reason that we have these political policies is so that we can sometimes act quickly in situations where we need to do something urgently, because it is not always possible to go and talk to every stakeholder when things are happening very quickly. So I followed all of the policies that we're committed to as are outlined in the CSJ policy. And after conversations, I was able to figure out ways in which we could get AUFSJ involved much more effectively as we go forward. So to answer your question, we absolutely believe AUFSJ needs to be involved in advocacy on Francophone education issues. However, we do have these policies for a reason, and having policies gives us a playbook to follow in situations where we are not necessarily able to take the time to go slowly and talk to everyone involved. As you know, CSJ's financial issues are very serious and very urgent. As a result, I wanted to act as quickly as possible, so I followed the policy that was created after intensive consultation with CSJ students, and is based on the will of CSJ students that's been expressed many times before.
So, thank you, Vice President Lay. Mitchell, go ahead.
Hey there again, guys. Just for Vice President Cron, I just know that in your report, you said that for UPass advocacy, you guys were gonna look at different advocacy measures to try and get your message out. I was just wondering, can you elaborate on some of the options that are being considered by the UASU?
Go ahead.
Sorry, Mr. Speaker. Thank you for the question, Mitchell. In terms of elaborating, the very small breakdown of it is essentially we have drafted another proposal for a possible UPass solution that we have given to ETS. We're hoping that by the end of the week they will be getting back to us as to whether or not that's feasible. If solutions continue to not be able to be found, we will probably be going the route of reaching out to City Council and just generally within that. We're still looking at specifics as to who exactly we would reach out to, but that would be the general route.
Awesome. Thank you.
And thank you, Vice President Cron. I'll welcome the speakers list for any more questions here, but seeing none so far, we can switch into question period here pretty quickly. Okay, so seeing no more questions, we're going to go into question period here. So just as a reminder, this is for any members of council to pose questions to any other members of council. 30 seconds for a question, 2 minutes for a statement, 3 total speaking turns, but you guys all know this. So I will welcome Councillor Bowes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just have one question for Dick Zacks or anyone who can answer this. So basically, there was a statement out by USU exec saying the University of Alberta Students Union condemns the conduct alleged in recent reporting from CBC and the Edmonton Journal, which it views as racist. To be honest, I don't know what's going on. I haven't found out any report. Could you please elaborate on this thing? Because I don't know what has been happening at all. So yeah, that's my question. Anyone who can answer.
I can take that.
Certainly, go ahead, President Agarwal.
Sorry about that. Yeah, thank you for the question, Councillor Bose. In the statement we put out there was links to articles that you can read, which go through the extent of and the details about the incidences. Essentially, there was a case of alleged racism in a certain faculty on our campus. So I'd encourage you to read the statement, and you can definitely find more information about that. If you want, I can forward that to you at the end of this.
And thank you, President Agarwal. Councillor Marquise, go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for VP Cron. It's also regarding UPass. I know you've mentioned this previously, but Councillor Dixon as well asked me to mention this, but it's also regarding BFA students during their extended winter term. If there are any plans for those students, I know they are going to have some issues with the UPass in the future. I don't know if you guys started working on anything like this. So, yeah. Thank you.
Vice President Cron, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thanks for the question, Lucas. Yeah, so I had heard of that. So essentially, for those who don't know, the problem, as far as I understand it, is essentially that certain students within, I believe it's the drama program, for some of their courses have an extended winter semester. So it goes from January till sometime into the spring semester. So basically, the question is, will they be assessed a spring and summer UPass, or, you know, how would that work? To be honest with you, this was the first that I heard of those kinds of courses even being a thing. And so I apologize for my ignorance on that. Basically, VP, Kid, and I are both sort of working on figuring out who to contact to find out, whether that be at the registrar's office or wherever, to find out what's been done for those students previously, if these courses have happened like that before. And otherwise, we'll be certainly looking into that and using our best judgment to, you know, and asking folks what they think in terms of what would be best for those students. I certainly would like to find them an option where they can have that affordable transit. And so if that means assessing them the UPass for that semester, then I hope that we would be able to make that happen. So yeah, we're right now at the stage of figuring out who to talk to. So thanks for your patience with that, but we are definitely moving on that.
Thank you.
Excellent. Councillor, or thank you, Vice President Cron. Councillor Bid, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to speak as the delegate of the Student Union to the International Students Association. We had a meeting recently with all delegates from different associations, and Councillor Bose would agree to this. ISA has really revamped what they do. They presented the history of ISA to us, the composition of the International Students Council, the goals of ISA, and they made us feel that they have a purpose. And I just wanted to update everyone on that. They're going to bring certain items to the Students Council, and it would be really nice if we could support them so that international students are represented better. Yeah, thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Councillor Bid. Councillor Dillon, go ahead.
Okay, so my question is for VP Operations and Finance, so VP Cran. So this might be like a really weird question, but in regards to the part of your report and in what you were talking about before, you talked about Hempact and a working relationship with them. But from my like very preliminary knowledge, they are in their very early stages. So I'm not even sure if they have products manufactured. So what will this relationship look like if they don't really have products to offer? Are we basically funding their initiative, or what does it look like?
Vice President Cron, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And thank you, Councillor Dillon, for the question. Yeah, so that is a good question. You're correct. They're still in their prototyping phase right now. We met with them this last week, and they basically said, like, I think that the timeline is by January they should be able to be, you know, producing it and everything like that. So we're right now working out what the relationship is exactly going to look like going forward, because of course we would be, like we would from anyone, we would be purchasing the product. But that being said, we will be very cognizant of the fact that, you know, if it's going to be, you know, obviously a smaller company and all this stuff, that we're not going to be sort of overspending on that. And they've made it clear that they wouldn't be the ones to be the sole provider, you know, and all these sorts of things to sort of mitigate the costs that could be associated with that. As well as for them, it would be kind of a provision of the benefit of being able to, you know, see what, you know, to be able to market test it, as it were, but within sort of a, like the post-secondary, you know, the university community, on campus, things like that. Of course, it is a preliminary thing right now. We're still working out the details of a memorandum of understanding, all that sort of stuff. So it is in its early stages, but there was something I wanted to say. Right. we are not going to be funding their project. They have been very successful at securing a lot of other sponsorship funding. You can check it out on their website. They have lots and lots of sponsors. That's not the nature of the relationship, as well as the fact that it will obviously still be a while until they do that. So by no means are we going to be waiting for Hempact before we start in on the Free Menstrual Products Initiative. We're going to be starting that right away. But we really do want to take, VP Kid and I, that is, we would like to take a long-term view of the project and to really make sure that this isn't something that just kind of happens for a year and then dies down. We really want to make sure that this is going to be economically sustainable and that we're going to be able to really see it through. And so as part of that, we're thinking of working in environmental sustainability into the sort of the long-term goals of the initiative. So weaving that in as a bit of a thread there to make the initiative better, frankly. So yeah, I hope that kind of answers your question. Feel free to ask me more if that wasn't clear.
Excellent. Thank you, Vice President Cron. Up next here, Councillor Bose.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First of all, I would like to agree with whatever Councillor Bitt said. ISA has been doing an amazing job. Just for transparency's sake, I will be telling this. I am representing ESS on ISC, not SU, because I was nominated then. I have a question for Vice President Cron. I was wondering, could you please elaborate on the two-tier model you were talking about on the medical insurance thing? Because that really sounds interesting. Thanks.
Vice President Cron, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, Councillor Bose, for the question. That has been something that I think, the thought about that was started last year with last year's exec team and has sort of been coming to fruition in recent meetings with Vice President Kidd and myself. And so essentially what has been happening is we and last year's exec, there's been, noticed a need for, maybe different levels of coverage for students as well as different, price possibilities. I guess that students would be hoping to sort of be paying for. So basically we're looking right now at having, so there's going to be your standard plan, which is the plan as we would be going forward with otherwise. So it's the health and dental plan as we're seeing it now. As well, we have been crafting then a second tier, which is essentially, we're calling it the basic plan. Our creative naming scheme, as you can see, where essentially that's going to be the more affordable sort of with lower coverage in certain select areas, to have a plan that would be more affordable for students in case they had coverage, say, under their parents still or something like that, but we're looking for a bit of extra coverage in certain areas or something like that, whatever the case may be. Something that I would like to note on that is that we did not touch mental health funding, which I think is a good thing because we want to make sure that folks who are, kind of at all phases of, affordability, targeting and everything like that, that we're making sure that they're receiving mental health supports that they need. And so that's essentially it. We're still working on solidifying the breakdown of exactly, where things are going to be going with it, but that information should be out quite soon. So we look forward to updating you on that later. But essentially the key is affordability piece and as well as your traditional health and dental plan that we do continue to strive to keep affordable as well as with good coverage. There you go.
Thank you, Vice President Cron. Councillor Buchanan, go ahead.
Oh, my apologies. I was finding the mute here. This is a question for Vice President Cron. Would it be possible to have an update provided either by yourself or from the legacy, the PANAS and the Bears Legacy Fund at upcoming meeting, given that the circumstances have drastically changed in how they're going to be operating since the previous council decided to extend the charging of the fee until a referendum next spring?
Vice President Cron, go ahead.
Thank you for the question, Councillor Buchanan. I'm certainly happy to provide my insights from the meeting. I'll make a note of that so that I can give you sort of more of that. I have my own questions that I'm about what you're describing that I'm going to be bringing to them tomorrow. So I will make a note to update you. So thanks very much.
Thank you. Am I?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Without praising or shaming any individual committee, because I'm assuming you know who you are or aren't, could any of the chairs please update their plan or challenges in providing a timely update of the minutes for their meetings so that the councillors that are not present or members of those committees can be properly informed of what's going on, and so when issues come to council, they have more information. Thank you.
Councillor Buchanan, I'm going to step in and answer that one. Usually for all of the committees, there's a staff member from Discover Governance present at those committees to record the minutes, or a recording of the meeting is sent to Discover Governance to transcribe the minutes. So we do have staff members that are like delegated to do that, and it's not really in the chair's responsibility, but an email to actually you could email like myself and I can pass it on to like Kristen, one of the internal managers with the Students Union, so I can't remember the exact position, but would not necessarily be on the chairs, if that makes sense.
That makes sense. It's just a follow-up, and I'll just say I will appreciate the couple of committees that have provided updates to the Google Drive for their minutes that have their meetings have occurred is very much appreciated. And I understand it is a period of flux since Discover Governance is changing, but this is an important communication tool to the rest of council. So we are prepared when issues come arise at council to ask meaningful questions and have informed votes. Thank you.
Excellent. Perfect. Okay. So Councillor Buchanan, I sent you the email address like personally on the Zoom chat here if you want to follow up with an email just about that, and we can address that. But afterwards, Councillor Dillon, you had your question next year.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, so sorry, this is a follow-up question to my previous question, but I'll direct it both to VP Cran and to VP Kidd because I know that she does a lot of work with the menstrual products on campus with that initiative. So in regards to what you said previously, and obviously clarify, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but prototyping phase is still in the works and will be done in January, or it will be done in January. So I was wondering, do we know for sure if it works or if it's even safe to distribute for our students, or is it just based off of the prototype at the moment?
Vice President Kidd or Vice President Cron?
Thank you for the question, Councillor Dillon. So, I would have to check up on that specifically to get sort of HMPAC's exact, stage on that. But what I can say is that if it's not safe, and if it's not ready to go, then there's absolutely no way that we would allow students to be, to be made unsafe as part of this initiative. Definitely the, safety and wellness continues to be at the heart of the initiative. And certainly don't worry if that's something that you're wondering about in terms of that prototyping and everything. We will make sure that everything is good to go before anything is happening with the initiative in terms of HMPAC's involvement with that.
And thank you, Vice President Cron. Councillor Bid, go ahead.
So my question is to VP Draper. Since he's knowledgeable in this area, I wanted to ask him, if we're referring to someone whose gender we don't know, is it okay to refer to them as mix? So I read online that there's a pronoun called, so it's spelled as MX, and it's pronounced as mix. So is it acceptable to use that pronoun? And my second question is, what's the hamburger? Yeah, thank you.
Vice President Draper, go ahead.
I got muted, sorry. I'll try and be quick so I can get to both. So with pronouns, just as you did there, using them when you do not know necessarily which pronoun they use. And then MX is used by some people, however, it's not used by all. So even then, you can always omit that entirely and ask what they prefer as their suffix or prefix, because then you can have, hey, like, what's do you prefer Mr., Mrs., Miss, Mix, any of those, and then you can have their direct statement on that, so you can know where to go for that. With the hamburger, that is a fun story that is about the Alberta legislature. So in the library, there is a hamburger encased entirely in resin, because there is a copy of every single item tabled in the legislature building kept in the library. And one day, when evening sittings started for the very first time, a member, annoyed that they had to sit in evenings, and especially annoyed with the quality of food at the legislature building, tabled a hamburger in the chamber. Now, this was to showcase the absolute poor quality of the cafeteria food that they were forced to eat while working at the legislature building. Now, this put the library in a conundrum, because they have to keep and maintain a copy of every single item tabled in the legislature building. So they got this hamburger, and then they decided to encase it in resin. And actually, it went missing for a little while, because the son of the MLA that that tabled this hamburger ended up taking it. Now, after this MLA passed away, this hamburger was done in their estate, so it got donated again to the legislature building. So if you go visit the ledge and go walk into the library, you will see a full hamburger encased in resin that was tabled because of the terrible quality of the food, which I think is just hilarious. So personally, I'm very thankful that we have strong quality food when we meet in person at council. Horwitz Event Center is always doing great stuff for us, in my opinion. So I don't think we'll have to table any of our meals anytime soon if we meet in person, but it's always interesting to see what that happens in different bodies of government. And thanks for reading my report.
Thank you, Vice President Draper. Board of Governors Representative Conrad, go ahead.
Yeah, this is, I guess, to anyone who could answer, maybe even you, Jared. Sorry, Mr. Speaker. Just in reference to what you said, Councillor Buchanan, really good thought, I think. Kind of interesting where we are with chairs doing some work, with staff doing some work. I understand, like, it's we're, like, aggressively understaffed, and there's so much work to do, and so I'm sorry. I'm also not a chair, so I feel really bad asking, oh, can we put more work onto chairs? Or is there some way we can streamline the communication of meeting minutes, meeting recordings, that is quick, that's easy, that can be delegated to someone that doesn't already have the world on their shoulders? What does that look like?
President,
thank you, Board.
Sorry, I wasn't sure if that was directed to Councillor Buchanan or someone else.
To whoever can answer, Joel.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. So it's a good question. I think that one of the things that we're trying to transition right now is moving away from Discover governance, because we don't have that anymore. We have been... COVID has partly made it also very challenging, because we have about 150 less staff. So we have hired a new position in the past few months that is assisting with council administration, administration in other senses. So I'm actually going to be working with them after, I mean, hearing the conversation here, I'm going to bring it up with our staff to figure out what the best way is to streamline the process, so that, we're all on the same page here.
Excellent. Thank you, President Agarwal. Councillor Fotan, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Without naming or praising or shaming any specific councillor, I would just say that when it comes, at least speaking from my chair position, we do our best with keeping tabs of the minutes. As President Agarwal and Governor Conrad has noted, things have been different now that we don't have Discover governance. So a lot of that placing of minutes and putting things in folders, yet we're doing, our committee members are doing their best to handle. And we've kind of taken that responsibility ourselves. I'm speaking from bylaw committee. And if any council member feels that, they wanted to attend but couldn't make it, please always feel free to communicate with me. I'm more than happy to catch up with you and let you know what happened. We do keep the minutes, the recordings there. Sometimes they get lost because it's, I believe based on the way Google Meets works, it's only the SU execs who are able to record meetings. I don't know why, but that's something that's only the people with that email domain can work on. And I would just use this opportunity to shout out to Navneet, and you know, be very grateful for the work he's been doing. I know it's a lot. I know it's a two-person army there with him and Kristen, so I appreciate your patience there, and we're all learning, we're all doing our best here. So yeah, if anyone feels, you know, they want to understand what's happening with, are you speaking for bylaw committee, I'm more than happy to communicate with you individually. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. Councillor Bose, just as a reminder, this is your final speaking turn as well.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is going to be short. Since we are on the topic of discussion, since we are on the topic of minutes right now, first of all, Navneet and Kristen have been doing an amazing job. But I would just like to put this thing in the minute that I miss Thomas Banks just for this reason, because that dude did an amazing job. So yeah, and please include this in the minutes. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Councillor Bose. So with that, that will conclude our question period, seeing the exhaustion of the speakers list. And we'll move
on. Mr. Speaker, I'll just quickly say, just response to the question. Responding to Board of Governors.
I'll ask you your name on the speakers list then, if I might.
Okay, so am I saying a question or answering the question? Clarification.
To my knowledge, I don't remember a question being posed directly to your membership, but if you'd like to submit a statement, you do have another speaking turn.
That would be fine. I'll put my name on here. I don't have any other questions. So like I said, you know, I don't have all the answers to this. I think it will require creativity, and I would second and third previous statements by members to the work that Kristen and Navneet are doing. They're definitely doing more work than what has been covered by others in the past. One idea, and maybe other ideas as well, but members of the committee could nominate, not necessarily on a permanent, but on a meeting by meeting basis, a secretary to assist the chair to take minutes as they're going on. And they don't have to be verbatim or anything, but in addition to the agenda that I'm assuming all the committee have for each meeting, to provide, you know, a summary of what goes on with each point, so that can be updated and posted to the drive that Kristen has created for us, that can help to spread the love around and responsibility, so everyone can be properly informed. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Buchanan. So with that, we'll move into board and committee business here. So item 7A, President Agarwal moves to ratify the appointment of several members to the Discipline Interpretation and Enforcement Board. I'll just call for a secondary to that motion here before I have President Agarwal introduce. Vice President Draper, thank you. And President Agarwal, you have 1 minute.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. So the Discipline Interpretation and Enforcement Board, or DIE Board, is the court of the Students' Union responsible for interpreting and enforcing the bylaws of the Students' Union. Essentially, it meets as required, and the DIE Board is best known for their role in Students' Union elections when they're asked to rule on challenges to the decisions of the Chief Returning Officer. Essentially, the committee that was appointed earlier in the summer put out applications for members to the DIE Board. So there were applications and there were interviews, and these are the members that we chose, and we need to ratify them at council. So that's it.
Excellent. Thank you, President Agarwal. I will open the floor to discussion if anybody would like to join the speakers list.
Okay, seeing none, I will post the link to vote here. Councillor Baird, go ahead.
Sorry for posing this late. I just wanted to ask, are there any other vacancies on the die board, or have all positions been filled except for the Chief Tribune? Thank you.
Vice President Draper, do you have an answer for that?
It might not be the full answer, but it can at least get us part of the way there. I believe the maximum amount of people that can sit on the die board is 11, and this puts us up to 6, I think. It's an ongoing process to fill the entirety of the die board, and this is just the first round of doing so. It's also important to note that die board terms are, I believe, not made with a end clause, so sometimes they just don't all get filled, or a lot of people graduate at once and they all get emptied. So it's important to leave a bit of space in between so that if you fill all spots at one point in time, that everybody doesn't graduate at the exact same time, and then you leave in the same position that we're in currently now, where we only had one member of die board, but after today we will not.
And thank you for the clarification. Now I have, like, we've already opened voting on this and closed the speakers list to this motion. I'm not, like, Councillor Buchanan, if you had a statement to make, I mean, people have already, like, we're already well past quorum for voting.
Oh, no worries, Mr. Speaker. I don't think this has any really effect on whether we're on the current vote. It's just in addition to Vice President Draper's comment that I know with myself, with people that are interested but are not, for various reasons, didn't apply this time. They're looking to at whenever we start our second wave of assessments at the beginning of the semester that looks at different factors that we looked at, including a variety of different years left in their schooling, as Vice President Draper mentioned. So.
Excellent. Thank you for the information, Councillor Buchanan. We have collected significant amount of responses. So with 21 votes recorded, we have 21 votes in favor. So that'll pass unanimously. So congratulations for that. And that will move us to item 7B on our agenda here. So Councillor Montero and Councillor Draper move on behalf of Policy Committee to approve the second principles of the Academic Materials Political Policy. And since we already have a secondary, I'll ask for Councillor Montero to introduce the motion.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So for this policy, Academic Materials, Second Principles, this was discussed at last meeting and we were going to vote on it, but there was an issue with the PDF. I can see it now, it's on there. I hope everyone had the opportunity to read it. And then if VP Draper has anything else to add, go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's a great policy and I'm looking forward to voting for it this time with it on the agenda.
Excellent. So I will welcome the speakers list. President Agarwal, I see you signed up there quite quickly.
Yeah, no, I just want to say thanks to everyone who's been working on this policy. I think it's really important work. It's a policy that, you know, it's adapting. And, you know, when we talk about the Students' Union being flexible in the midst of change and in a COVID environment, I think this policy really reflects that. So great job to everyone who has been working on this policy. And great job to the Chair of Policy Committee, Abner. I will definitely be voting in favor of this.
Excellent. Thank you, President Agarwal. Is there anybody else on the speakers list? Okay, I will do one final call for anybody to have questions or discussion. Okay, I'll post the link here momentarily. All right, so we have tabulated enough responses here. But we have 19 votes recorded in. I will just give it another moment here for the last couple of responses. Perfect. Okay, so 20 votes in. That will also pass unanimously. So 20 votes in favor. None opposed, no abstentions. And that will move us on to item 7C of the agenda. So Vice President Lay moves to approve the first principles of the Student Financial Aid and Scholarships Political Policy. I'll just call for a secondary to that before I have Rowan introduce. Perfect, thank you, Councillor Montero. Vice President Lay, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So you can see here our work on overhauling the student financial aid policy, but we've also done something a little different from most policy overhauls. So we realized in looking through our policies that there was a huge amount of redundancy between the student financial aid policy and the scholarships and bursaries policy. A lot of the points contained in them were actually just repetitions of each other, and we did not see any reason why they should be two separate policies. They were not distinguished in any meaningful way. I think the original intention was that one should be about university scholarships and bursaries and the other about government student aid, but that wasn't clear in the policies, and the same principles apply to both. So what we've decided to do is to collapse those two policies into a single policy that we are going to call the Student Financial Aid and Scholarships Policy. And this policy is considerably shorter than the previous two combined, but I think it addresses all the same concerns. We've also just consolidated some facts that we felt contained unnecessary duplication or would flow better if they were combined into a single fact. And we've added new sources based on both UASU research and advocacy and Council of Alberta University students research to make sure that anyone who sees this knows that it's evidence-based policy and we've done our homework. I'm happy to take any questions on the changes.
Excellent. Thank you, Vice President Lay. I will welcome the speakers list to any questions or discussion. All right. So I'm not seeing anybody in the speakers list. Okay. Councillor Bid, go ahead.
I wanted to ask the table that shows the two separate policies and the right side, the right column. So is the policy going to be replaced with the right side of the table, or how is it going to be?
Yeah, thank you for the question, Councillor Bid. I was worried for a moment that no one found student financial aid exciting. But the left column is the old policies. So you can see the first section is the facts from the old student financial aid policy. The second section is the facts from the old scholarships and bursaries policy. The right column is what the facts will be in the new consolidated policy if we pass it.
Excellent. Thank you, Vice President Lay. With that, I will call last time here for any questions to come from the speakers list. President Agarwal, go ahead.
Yeah, again, I'll just say that this is, again, a really important policy that's coming forward. So great work on everyone who's been working on this. I mean, I think in light of all the budget cuts and, you know, the direction post-secondary education is heading towards, that a lot of the additions in the policy on the right-hand side, I think, really will help direct and guide our advocacy to the government. So great job. Just a note for the future for policies, it'd be helpful to have the changes noted in red, so it's easier to determine, you know, what's new and what's been added. So overall, though, great work on this.
Excellent. Thank you, President Agarwal. As a point of information for the Chair of Policy Committee, there is a template for how the policies are put through in Appendix B of the standing orders. But from there, I will look to post the link to vote unless anybody else has questions or queries. All right, link is coming your way. Excellent. Okay, so we've tabulated 17 responses. I'm just going to give it another minute here so we can get above that. Okay, perfect. Excellent. So I will conclude voting here. So with 18 responses in, we're past quorum. We have 17 in favor with one abstention. Would the abstention like to be noted? Okay, so perfect. Okay, Councillor Fotang, was that your abstention there to be noted?
Sorry, my internet cut out, so by the time I was unable to vote. I didn't want to vote in favor. So
okay, the form is still technically open, but we are completely passed. Not a problem there. If the abstention would like to be noted, I'll just ask that they put it down into the chat here. But regardless, the motion passes. Perfect. So we will move to item 7D here on our agenda. Vice President Kron moves to approve the proposed changes to the Business Students Association's club funding model as per last meeting's presentation. Can I please just get a secondary? Councillor Saretsky, thank you. And Vice President Kron, I'll allow you a moment to introduce here.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So yes, you will recall that last meeting, I'm sorry, I mistyped. I meant to say last meeting, not last week's. But at the last meeting, the Business Students Association presented with some ideas for how to change their club funding model in a way that they stated, which I also believe makes it more equitable between clubs that otherwise receive lots of outside funding apart from the BSA. As per bylaw 8200, I believe they need our approval in order to change, that is council's approval to change their FAMF. And as that was in the FAMF proposal, their club funding, as well as the EDI contract for clubs that they were proposing, have to come to us. And so since we saw that presentation, it is now procedure to vote in favor or against those proposed changes. So yeah, that is what we were voting on now.
Excellent. So open the speakers list here and I see Councillor Bid is ready to go.
Yeah, I really liked the presentation last time, and
the idea of keeping some money behind so that it can be allocated later more efficiently is really good, and I'm going to be voting in favor of this. I just wanted to ask, is it possible for SU to advocate such a model to other associations and clubs as well, so that they can fit this into their structure if they can?
Vice President Corona, if you'd like to field that question.
I would like to. Sorry, okay. Mr. Speaker, just waiting for your call. So, Councillor Bid, that's a good question. I agree that I think it's a really good model that they're proposing. It sounds to me like that would be something, at least from what I know of the bylaws, that would be something that would kind of maybe a question that council could ask when a faculty association came to council to renew their FAMP proposal, which I believe they do every 4 or 5 years. Sorry, I always mix up that number. So that sounds to me like a time when council would be able to do that. Otherwise, I'm not sure what the mechanisms for that would be, but yeah.
Excellent, thank you, Vice President Cron. Vice President Draper, go ahead.
Sorry. Got something stuck in my throat where I was about to say thank you, Mr. Speaker, but thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a bit of info on that. All FAMPs are quite unique in their own. They don't necessarily have one solid direct template wherein they all have similar club funding models. Some FAMPs are used predominantly for events, some FAMPs are used predominantly for operations, some are used predominantly for granting. So the BSA has theirs more directly targeted towards club funding, while other faculty associations have theirs set up differently. One thing that I can do, though, is have the BSA do a talk surrounding their funding model and their granting structure at the COFA Finance Board, which could be an interesting thing to raise that idea to other faculty associations, so that if they are interested in taking up a similar model, that they can.
Thank you, Vice President Draper. Councillor Bowes, go ahead.
I would just like to say the presentation was great, and I will also be voting in favor. But just responding to what Councillor Bitt said, every faculty association is unique, and their own, I mean, they all of them have got their different structures. So something which works for a faculty association might not work for the other one. So yeah, that's just my response. But yeah, I will be voting in favor. The presentation was great. Thanks.
Excellent. Thank you, Councillor Bowes. So I welcome the speakers list to any additional discussion here, but I'll be posting the link to vote in a moment here, seeing nobody else on the list. President Agarwal, go ahead.
Yeah, I will just I'll just add to some of what's already been said. I think I, based on the presentation 2 weeks ago at our council meeting, I really appreciated the sincerity in moving towards a direction which I think really upholds the values of equity, diversity, and inclusion. I think that this is it's very commendable work that has been done by the Engineering Student Society, and I'm looking forward to other faculty associations as well to be working collaboratively and ensuring that these sort of changes Business Students Association. Thank you, VP Draper. I commend the work that they've been doing, and hopefully that other faculty associations can be looking at what EDI really means. I know other faculty associations have been doing that, but I will be voting in favor.
Excellent. Thank you, President Agarwal. So with that, seeing no additions to the speakers list, I'll post the link to vote here. And it's accepting responses as of now. And actually, while you all are voting, I'm noticing we're coming 8 minutes into our natural break period here, but we do have just two items left on the agenda for items from bylaw committee. I'm going to ask council what they would prefer to do in terms of whether you would want to take a full 15-minute break after this here, or if you would like to keep on just trucking through and getting these last two items done. I don't expect it to take too long. Alternatively, I mean, I don't know if you all take quick pee breaks during council, but we could call a 5-minute break. Up to you, but Vice President Lay, I see your name on the list here.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Speaker. Just a reminder that a Vice President Kidd put something on the agenda. Oh, she put it in the chat. Yeah, there's something on the agenda for closed. We're not sure how long that's going to take. So I think it may be best to take the 15-minute break if the rest of council agrees.
No, you're right. No, that slipped my mind. Just I've been reminded twice of that. That shouldn't have slipped my mind. Clearly, my mind's a little busy. But thank you, Vice President Lay, for pointing that out. Okay, so with this here, we do have all of the votes recorded here, but with 21 votes in favor and one opposed, that item will pass. So congratulations for that. And then we do have another 7 minutes here, I guess, before we get into our break here. So we'll just go for it onto item 7E here before the break, where Councillor Fotang and Councillor Marquise move to approve Bill 3, the second principles of the amendments to Bylaw 2100. And since there's a secondary, I'll ask Councillor Fotang to introduce.
Hello. Yeah, so this is the second principles from the bylaw amendment that we brought. I think it's been like 4 council meetings ago. I forget. Sorry. I'm just trying to pull my laptop to find, open it up. But this one just dealt with adding bylaw 2250 into the list of the bylaws that the CRO is supposed to adhere to, because I think when they'd made these changes, the previous bylaw committee had, I guess, in their overwhelming, you know, task, just didn't see it. So we just wanted to add that there for clarification. And yeah, that was the only thing for Bill.
If I may add.
Oh, and the change, yeah, for the DRO contract to begin in December instead of September. Apologies.
Yeah. Excellent. Thank you. So with that, I'll open the speakers list to any discussion. Vice President Draper, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And thank you, Councillor Fotang and Marquez, for bringing the item to the agenda today. Having the creation of Bylaw 2250 was something that I'd oversaw last term, as the old Bylaw 2200 was quite large and cumbersome. And this just looks like it's that last kind of little bit of cleanup to get it all up, running, and operational. So thank you so much for doing that. This is great to see that that process coming to an end. So I'm really happy to vote in favor of this today.
Excellent. Thank you, Vice President Draper. I will welcome any additions to the speakers list. All right, seeing none, I'm going to assume that y'all are ready to vote. And I'll post the link here momentarily. All right, should be collecting responses right now. Excellent. So this motion will also pass unanimously with 20 in favor. And I'm seeing 4 minutes until the break, and we'll just jump right into closed after the break. So we'll finish board and committee business and then go into break. So there's one final motion, but item 7F, Councillor Fotang and Councillor Marquise move to approve Bill 4, the second principles, the amendments of Bylaw 2200. And seeing a secondary, Councillor Fotang, if you'd like to introduce again here.
Perfect. Yeah. Once again, just another amendment we saw. This one was just based on the CRO's recommendation of adding electronic approval to materials of like campaign materials. So rather than actually having to have a formal like signature, I think is what it was in the past, the CRO can actually approve your materials via email or other electronic formats.
Awesome. Thank you, Councillor Poteng. I'll welcome the speakers list to any discussion. Councillor Buchanan, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would invite an amendment to this this bill under, it's all under section 27 sub 2, to have it to read, the election staff shall provide in confidence a written or electronic approval or refusal, and then in brackets with reasons, that's the addition, and then continue on of campaign materials within 8 working hours of receiving a request as set out in section 27.1.
Excellent. Thank you, Councillor Buchanan. I'll just ask Councillor Poteng, would you like to take the amendment as friendly?
Yeah, I will take that amendment as a friendly amendment.
Perfect. President Agarwal.
No, I take that. I don't have anything to say. I was just going to clarify something, but I think I answered that question in my head. So thank you.
Perfect. Awesome. So that concludes our speakers list. I will just call quickly for any additional comments, questions, queries. All right. I will post the link here for y'all to vote.
Amazing. Okay, so that tabulates our votes here. So again, with 20 votes in favor, that passes unanimously. Congratulations. That'll complete today's board and committee business. And then we will call a break now, coming into our natural break time at 7:30. Then I'll welcome you all back at 7:45 for a closed discussion. Awesome. So, oh, just for everybody as a note, after the closed discussion, we will be like adjourning our council meeting. So just to members of the Gateway or registered guests, I feel bad keeping y'all waiting. If you don't want to wait around, it's okay. But we will see everybody back here at 7:45.
Did you guys see dark yet? Because there's a huge hype going on right now, and I haven't seen it. So was just wondering.
The television show?
Yep.
Oh what? My gosh, that is the greatest television show on earth. No really? Debate.
What?
No debate.
What show?
The what?
The dark.
The dark.
It is simply the best, most consistent, most well-written television show on Netflix.
Oh my god! Now I have to see it. Damn, I'm watching
Modern Who's Family. In it?
There's no one famous. Yeah. It's like a German television show. It's like, I don't think you'd recognize, like, unless like you guys were into like German entertainment, like, but it's about time travel.
Yeah.
Like, not in the like nerdy science fiction way you think about time travel. Like, it's a whole situation, and I strongly recommend it. It's good.
Yeah, I have to see it. Here's the thing, I'm watching The Modern Family right now, and it's so fucking big that I can't even switch to another TV series. Like, damn. And I have this bad habit that I cannot just move to another TV series unless I finish the one I'm watching right now.
Oh, gosh.
So, yeah.
Damn. Modern Family is a big one.
I know, it's so big. I'm just on season 5 right now. So still 5 more seasons to go.
That's why I haven't started it. There's just, it's so intimidating.
But it's funny. Hey. It is funny.
Strong. Sure. If you're looking for a TV show that no one knows about slash maybe, like, it's super old, but it's Scrubs. It's on Amazon Prime. It's like the original, like,
I can do this all
yes!
on my
own. I love
Scrubs. Because I know I'm no Superman.
I just can't afford another subscription.
Yeah, me too. I'm broke. Seriously.
I've, like, stolen half of my boyfriend's, like, logins so that I can...
Catch me opening different credit card accounts just to have a different email, just to open different
3 month
trials.
I really do. I would watch it. I just can't afford Amazon Prime on top of everything else.
Exactly.
Like, so we don't want to give money to Amazon anymore. Not ever.
Hey, here's the thing. We can ask just Alana to pay all the counselors for extra, you know, all those streams. Hey, VP Finance, would you be able to give us, you know, some money, you know, maybe $10 or $20 per month to all the counselors
For a streaming service? Work?
Yeah, for all the streaming services.
You know, see, Vice President Kidd said that some big mental health thing was dropping. Maybe hint, it's a Netflix account. I'm kidding.
No, it is not. Please do not think that.
No. Anywho.
You'll be so disappointed by what it is.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's a good point. Shoot. I was thinking, oh, no, what we have is way better than Netflix. But then I'm like, oh, well, is anything better than Netflix is the real question. But here we are. Is Disney Plus better than Netflix?
I'm going to say yes, just because it has Hamilton. I have not stopped watching Hamilton.
I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen it, and I'm dying. My boyfriend is like, please, you got to wait to watch it with me. And I'm like, no, I can't, but I'm waiting. I'm waiting.
Well, I've learned all of Guns and Ships. I've been practicing my rapping, which does make me sound very white. I am very aware.
You gotta hear that.
How do you do, fellow kids? Today we shall learn to rap.
I'm like, what cool English assignments can I do with Hamilton?
Katie, council report, executive report. Yes, the last executive report of the year. You do that whole song for council. Odds, Katie.
Like, maybe satisfied. Like, that is like maybe an okay. Anything that you require actual talent for, I would say my rapping skills are, like, not there.
I'll put forward my talents as a beatboxer to, like, add the backing track to any other rapping, just for people to know. And I am also aggressively in favor of this. I remember one day while giving tours of downtown Edmonton last year, I improvised an entire rap about the Edmonton Ice District to the tune of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air theme song.
And so it sounds like this is happening then.
I think this is happening. Just every single meeting from now on.
You know what? It is what it is.
Thanks, Katie. I'm
ready. It is what it is.
I think, you know, collectively with your beatboxing skills and my white girl rapping skills, we probably have a solid 5 out of 10 talent act. So
I think we have a solid, like, I think it's called an indie rock duo, indie pop duo.
That's offensive to indie music.
It would require me to sing a little, which I don't really want.
No, you just have to go, like, ho a bunch of times, and then hey a couple other times.
Okay, you are directly
And then songs about driving through the Midwest or whatever, I don't know.
Midwest.
We do love. I love the Lumineers. I'm not even gonna lie. Like, when I'm sad,
it's not even just the Lumineers.
And it's a
though.
Rainy day, and I'm like, oh, singing.
Like, almost every big indie band has that. Like, you look it up, Monsters and Men, they have that. They just, they use that.
They have that and an Icelandic accent. And that's,
like, that's true. That is true.
What else do you need, though?
Exactly. I'm not saying
break it.
Like, oh yeah, you need a like weirdly profound music video about just like, you know, I don't know, walking through the street and dancing, or
you need one music video that's fully monochromatic though. And like half animated, but all the people are not animated.
Ooh.
Okay, I see.
I think we have our next exec TikTok decided.
Indie no. Hamilton fusion, but no. Hamilton just like has a banjo and sings about Congress blocking his stuff.
Have you seen Hamilton, Christian?
I saw the bootleg version even before Disney came out, so.
Christian, that's the new musical about Mitch McConnell, not Hamilton.
Exactly.
Sure about?
It's about Alexander Hamilton, who is one of the founding fathers of the U.S., and it's a musical, and it sounds lame, but it's really cool. And my sister paid $500 to see it on Broadway, and I used my boyfriend's Disney Plus to watch it.
Bet she saw it on Broadway.
Yeah, I know. She saw it, like, she didn't see the original cast, but she still saw it on Broadway.
If we're talking things that sound really lame but are actually cool, unlike Hamilton, I do have one like that. This right here is my physical copy of Robert's Rules of Order, and today I got it signed by the Speaker of the Alberta Legislature. That's my weird flex. It's also signed by the Office of the Sergeant at Arms as well.
That is so cool.
Come
is there me. Is their name Robert?
Sadly, no. But I go to the previous Robert for the SU side to see if I can get some.
Some oh my god!
I might have an intern there. I kind of know him.
Christian,
do you know the previous speaker?
Yeah, it's almost like he's my boyfriend.
What?
Christian.
What? Yeah, hi, Rowan.
Send your TikTok to the chat.
What TikTok?
The Robert's Rules of Order.
Oh, the Robert's Rule of Order TikTok. Oh, you saw that? Do I still have that?
Yes. Oh, it's so funny.
Do it. Yeah, need our need for TikToks.
I would find it.
Wait, oh, Lord.
TikTok as well, Christian? Wow.
Sometimes I make this stuff and just delete it because I don't.
Damn. I have to download TikTok.
No, this was art. This belongs in a museum. Oh, beautiful.
I remember Robert texting me that TikTok, like, weirdly proud that he was in it. I was like, okay. But it's better than any TikTok I will make. And I put hours into ours.
Yeah, Katie's not letting us dance in our TikToks.
That's where you're missing out. Like, exactly. That's the essential ingredient. Like,
what's
you don't
the
even
point
have
of
to dance good.
Yeah. Like, what the hell? It's just boring.
I want you all to think very carefully about who are the execs and what dancing ability they probably have. And then I want to
see I think the
so
highest.
So much ability. Like, you know, that I can do, like, the shopping cart, you know?
Mm. I know.
Oh, yeah. Yes, Alana.
Yes,
queen.
Only 3 weeks.
Truly, bring it on.
Also, none of them know any TikTok dances.
I don't have TikTok or know really.
You underestimate my amount of time just absentmindedly scrolling.
Does this mean we're all going to have to teach you TikTok dances?
Council bonding, let's go.
Yes, let's do it. Screw this game thing we all want to do. I want Nicole to teach us TikTok dances.
Yeah, let's do this.
Just me?
Just you.
It's a bit more pressure.
it's like a, oh my god, what is the dance workout that everyone had to do in like grade?
Jazzercise. Jazzercise?
No, like the
line dance, social dance.
It's a dance workout. 40-year-old
women
do it.
Zumba.
Actually, Rowan, after finding that TikTok, I don't remember why I shared it.
I want to see the TikTok now.
Yeah, can someone play it and share their screen? Like, I don't have TikTok, so I don't know.
Just hold it up to the screen.
Yeah, do that. I mean, I'm super bored, so please.
I don't know if TikTok has like a web version.
I can't see.
Her background, Christian is just reflecting on your screen.
Yeah. Christian, you're also muted.
Big boomer energy from Christian right now.
It's just glowing.
What is happening? Drop a link in the WhatsApp. Yeah, we want a link in the WhatsApp.
Fine.
Send it to us.
Rowan, I saw you trimmed your beard. It's pretty wild.
Light curtain in Christian's room.
If I let my beard get any longer than this, it starts to look awful. So
I'll make this pretty to my committee first and let them determine.
I know what you're talking about, Rowan. And as soon as
the password to council first.
It's long. Oh my god, it's so weird. Like it's just
so pleased to be on this.
And it doesn't grow evenly, so it looks messy.
I know.
I get that. When I'm older, I'll have a better beard, I hope.
Yeah, me too.
That's what I hope too, honestly. Alana, how do you feel? As you get older, will you have a better beard?
Ooh, what was that?
Okay, maybe not. Okay, nice. In solidarity with what, Serena?
I mean, I think I had a beard back.
Christian is amazing and is allowed everywhere. Excuse me while I watch it again.
See, send it to the council WhatsApp. It's great.
Yeah, please do it. Come on.
Sorry to expose you like this, Christian. I just felt people had to see.
It's actually so beautiful. Like, oh my gosh.
I can't stop watching this TikTok. I literally.
Oh my god, Christian.
I'm on TikTok just to follow Christian.
You can twerk better than me. Wow.
Oh, Omlin.
This is why you don't mix work and work
the first mistake.
That's why you don't mix tick and talk.
Tick and talk.
It's incredible. That was incredible.
All right, everyone. It is 7:45. I do apologize. I did forget to take attendance just before the break here. So I'll quickly do a round of attendance and then we'll head into our closed session. But President Agarwal?
Present.
Excellent. Vice President Draper?
Howdy, howdy.
Vice President Lay?
Present.
Excellent. Vice President Cron?
Present.
Vice President Kidd?
Present.
Board of Governors Representative Conrad?
Hi.
Councillor Carbajal? Councillor Dixon? Councillor DeGrano? Excellent, thank you. Councillor Marquise?
Present.
Thank you. Councillor Oliveira?
Present.
Thank you. Councillor Veloso? Perfect. Thank you. Councillor Yabut? Councillor Yabut, are you here? Perfect. Sorry. Thank you. Councillor Burhani? Councillor Saretsky?
Present.
Excellent. Councillor Ackman's not here. Councillor Batiki?
Here.
Councillor Bid?
Yeah.
Councillor Bose?
Here.
Councillor Hariharan? Perfect. Councillor Montero?
Here.
Councillor Buchanan?
Here.
Thank you. I've got you. Councillor Philip Bowman? Councillor Brandwine? Or I guess proxy for Councillor Brandwine today? He's here, perfect. Councillor Enerson? Perfect. Councillor Badesha? Councillor Berezesh?
Here.
Perfect, thank you. Councillor Dillon?
Here.
Councillor Fotang?
Here.
Councillor Kamani? Councillor Corday? I myself am here, and Mark is not. Okay, so with that, I will just ask for a motion to go into closed. I'm going to assume Vice President Kidd, is this your motion bringing forth?
I second.
Perfect. So Vice President Kidd motions, secondary from Omlin. Thank you. So with that, we will officially go into closed. And just as a reminder for everybody, the closed session on as part of the non-disclosure agreements, all of these conversations here are to be held like in privately and like only to be discussed with members of council. For the proxies today, you can feel free to like take some like quick notes if you want to update your counselor, but I will ask that you like destroy those notes or like just make sure that they're confidential. But with that, Vice President Kidd, the floor is yours.
Hi everyone. So I appreciate everyone sticking around for this. This is actually really important. And it's going to be an issue that we are going to have to talk a lot about. But I also want to be very sensitive. So I want to warn everyone that we are talking about campus sexual violence. And we are talking about explicitly kind of about someone's experience being sexually assaulted by a professor. So if this is something you, due to whatever reasons, are not able to discuss, you're not able to hear, please do not feel like you have to be there here. I appreciate everyone who can and is willing to stay, but I don't want anyone to put themselves through serious mental distress to have this conversation. Amlin, I'm just going to do that when I'm done this. Is that okay? Sweet. Okay. So with that, everything being said, please don't stick around if this becomes too personal. No one will notice. And if you do have to leave or you need to talk to anyone, I'm always available. So I sent you all two emails, and I just sent them because of the fact that it was closed. So I know you won't have time to have read them all. The first one contains six different articles written by Alex Kemp, who is a former U of A student who was sexually assaulted by their professor 13 years ago. And then the second email is talking about our asks. So to the university, here is how I'm planning on this going and why I want to talk about this. And then I'll get into the details if that works for everyone. So campus sexual violence is going to be a big deal this year. This is an issue we are going to be pushing hard on, and we are going to be pushing it at every single level of the university governance, and possibly beyond if needed. I want to keep you all as informed as possible because I don't want anything we do, A, to be surprising to you, or B, to be kind of, oh my gosh, I don't know what just happened with my computer, unexpected. What is happening? So this is me coming to you all with like, this is what's happening. I would love to hear thoughts and everything, but this, and kind of giving you a update of where we are now. Okay, sweet. Jared, is it all figured out or do you need me to stop talking?
No, we're good, Vice President Kidd. We're just going to go into committee of the whole, so we'll just tabulate a speakers list for whoever wants to speak next.
Okay, so I'm going to give you guys the history of where, and then where we are now. So as you guys probably got from the blog post, someone came forward, we heard about it from the article. We approached Alex, who uses they, them pronouns, and discussed what happened to them. as they've moved through the university and the university's reporting systems, they've been able actually to identify several key problems with the entire system. And there are some problems that we knew from the beginning. So our asks are kind of reflecting the problems that they've encountered. Those include not having a sexual violence prevention coordinator. Now, I'm gonna assume not everyone knows what this is because I think it's actually pretty confusing, but just so everyone knows, a sexual violence prevention coordinator is someone who works, we're asking for at the level underneath the provost or underneath probably the president, and their job is to look at the culture of sexual violence at the U of A. So for example, in Alex's case, after they became public with their account of sexual violence, they got numerous messages from different professors within the and people within the Department of History saying that they knew about the prof who assaulted them, and they knew that he had had inappropriate conduct with students, but they didn't say anything. So what the sexual violence prevention coordinator would do specifically in this case is look at, like, how is that allowed to happen, right? How can a whole department know that a prof is acting inappropriately, but there not be a way for them to report or to really to report? Then, as Alex's, I believe it's the fifth or the sixth post explains, and I really, really, really recommend you at least go through the first and then the one that details the problem with making a complaint, is to make a complaint, you have to make a complaint to the provost. It is a ridiculously one-sided process. The provost, so Steve Dew, one man, gets to decide what happens with the entire case. Ashwa, the university profs, academic staff's union provides lawyers. The student has to get their own. There's like numerous cases of these discrepancies. So the sexual violence prevention coordinator would also be looking at that and how can we fix that system. I like to explain it as we have a lot of supports on campus for someone who is a survivor. We do not have a lot of supports to look at why they became a survivor and to prevent more survivors, if that makes sense. So, and I can take more questions about that. The biggest thing that is that this person needs to have some authority, right? They can't just be like, I don't know, an entry-level employee, because they're making decisions that would affect the entire university staff. So they have to be someone that's pretty high up. And this is probably one of our number one asks. Yeah, so we all are also are asking for them to re-examine the Ashwa bargaining agreement. So that's like the agreement between the university and the union. And that's the one that lays out the process of how survivors go to get professional ramifications for their abuser's actions. It's extremely difficult. It's ridiculous, honestly, is the best way I can describe it. When I first read the process, I actually had to go on a walk because I felt like disgusted. That is actually up for renegotiation this year. So good timing. We'll be pressuring the university, particularly at the BOG there. We're also going to be going from GFC. We're going to be asking, or we're going to be re-examining the sexual violence policy and the experiential learning policy. I think a few of you might know, but experiential learning and safety on experiential learning is extremely close to my heart. This is where I'm going to try very, very hard not to cry. And it's something like students are really hung out to dry when you're on experiential learning because there's no way for you to make a complaint. You're also very worried about your pre-professional relationships. You're worried about how this will impact your career. There is very, very little mechanisms for you to come forward. And the university policy about experiential learning actually only talks about what happens if students are perpetrators of violence. It mentions nothing about if students are survivors. So to be honest with everyone, I dealt with a lot of sexual harassment on my practicum and I just shut up because I didn't know what to do and there was no one to help me. So I didn't say anything and I just took steps to avoid the person who is the perpetrator, and I've never gone anywhere with it because I just didn't know what to do. Which then brings us to another ask, and that is to make it very clear to the university how to move forward. So kind of to summarize a little bit is we are going to GFC, we're asking them to change the sexual violence policy and the experiential learning policy. We're gonna go to them and we're gonna ask them to, through the BOG, to renegotiate the ASHWA agreement about how students report. We're also asking them to create a clear reporting mechanism. That could be through the Sexual Violence Prevention Coordinator's Office or on the Sexual Assault website, amongst all the other asks we're doing, including apologies. And you can look through all of those. Those are the big ones, though. We also have CAUSE, the Council of Alberta University Students, has a white paper out about sexual violence that they are going to the government with. And me and President Agarwal have met with numerous university administrators. We've met with Catherine Swindlehurst, who is the VP University Relations, as well as the Dean of Students and the Assistant Dean of Students. Joel, could you just chime in about the committee?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I do want to say, first off, I am incredibly grateful for VP Kidd being so vulnerable and sharing her experience, but also taking the initiative here. This is not easy work. This is not something that is easy in any means of describing it. I'll start off with saying that it's absolutely pathetic the way the university has handled campus sexual violence in the past, how it's handled disclosures, and it is quite frankly way too complex. It is way too difficult to navigate the system. And I want everyone here on council, as Katie mentioned so eloquently, to know that we as an executive are taking this very, very seriously. We are full on board with ensuring that these changes are made appropriately and in a timely fashion. As Katie mentioned, there are a number of measures outlined in the document. The one that she ended off on was a committee with the university, sort of a working group or a task force, which is, I think, a step in the right direction. We're working with members from the Dean of Students, members from the President's Office, HR, people who have been involved with this before, but also as a note, I think generally, there are admin that are disappointed in the way that this has been handled before. And I see this as a perfect window of opportunity to push a lot of these asks in creating tangible changes that will affect students for decades. It's really sad that students have had to suffer in these ways in the past. I really strongly urge you, I know you've all received the email from Katie just recently, but read those articles. They are heartbreaking. They will definitely change the way that you view how campus sexual violence is handled at the U of A. And we are working incredibly hard. We're working really hard to get these, to figure out what it is that we need to change, first of all. Katie has been working incredibly hard. David has been working hard. Alana, Rowan, everyone has been working in various different aspects from the government level as well. As Katie mentioned, the campus sexual violence white paper has been promised to go into legislation by the provincial government. COVID has made things a little hard, and they have been committing to doing that. It's just a matter of timelines, but they're from policy changes from campus sexual violence policy, whether it's experiential learning, whether it's pathways for reporting, working with the other associations, ASHWA, these are tangible steps that we are bringing to the university, and we're working tirelessly to getting that on board. In terms of the committee, that's going to be, in terms of the task force with the university, that's going to be a place where we get the right people in the room to discuss where it is that we need to be heading, and what are the issues, what are the challenges. Katie mentioned a campus sexual violence prevention coordinator. That's something the Students' Union has been advocating for a couple of years now. One of the things that we would like to see is a model similar to the University of British Columbia, where they have a fully resourced sexual violence prevention and response office with significant authority, much more than the U of A does. First of all, the U of A doesn't even have a specific office. It's very decentralized, and that I think is part of the problem in a lot of this. So those are some of the tangible things that we're thinking. I'll let whoever's on next on the speaking list to go, or pass it back to Katie if you wanted to add any more things.
Yeah, it's me. Okay, I'm back. Anyone who was on council last year knows I cry a lot. I was gonna really try and get through this whole year of council without crying, but we'll go for all but one. anyways, so the reason I'm here today is, and I think, you know, the other past vice president student life would agree that this issue has been a bit of a non-starter in the past. We've been kind of told, like, you know, it's not feasible for whatever reasons, there's delays, admin kind of just waits until whatever VP student life who's in the role is exhausted and can't see a way for this to be done or is actually out of office, and then, you know, the issue never really goes somewhere. So I am not going to let that happen, even if it means I have to be just really annoying for an entire year. That's one of my strong suits, I would say. So I'm ready. That's why I wanted to come to you today, because A, I wanted to make sure that we're communicating with council from the beginning about how this issue is going. But we're also going to be being prepared to go public, whether that's on our social medias or on through even maybe the media, we'll see, depending if we get iced out by the university again, because there is so many things about this moment that can lead to tangible change, and I won't let it pass by without something changing, because it's not fair to survivors to go through what they have to and then to feel that the university is re-victimizing them and to feel like the university is making them feel alone. So I do genuinely believe, even though I'm the pessimist, that we can go for this and that something will change here. So we will be looking to do public and media campaigns if needed. I think it will really depend how this committee goes. So that's like all my kind of update from my end and Joel's end. We have been kind of the ones meeting with administration, but like, I want to be very clear, like, all the execs have been so helpful with this, with helping me think out of like a every way possible strategy for just like giving me tissues every time I cry to whatever it is. But I'd love to hear from you guys, just whatever. Like, if you knew about the sexual violence prevention coordinator, if you have any ideas on possibly, I don't know, anything about this issue, I'm all ears. I can't say that everything will get done. It's very out of our hands, but I am here for feedback, and I would love to hear any opinions. So it's also a committee of the whole, so you can just put your name in and go from there. Okay, Simran, go.
Okay, so yeah, first I just want to thank Katie for being so vulnerable and sharing her story. I know that she cares so deeply about this matter, so obviously I know that's extremely hard to do. This is just, I guess my comments are mainly in regards to article, I believe, 6 that Katie sent out in the email that regards the process in filing a complaint. So I made a couple notes. As you can tell, I really don't have paper around, so I'm out here with my Post-its, but sorry, going back to that. So the first thing is looking at her first point with standardized, with the provost being able to determine if it's a level 1 or level 2 complaint. I think that personally there should be like a standardized criteria put in place, even if it's just the provost who makes these decisions, to remove any kind of bias. Although the there's like varying levels of concern, no cases the same. I think removing bias is extremely important in those situations. I also don't think, and I'm sure most people can reiterate it, that one person should not be in charge. Like, it's kind of disappointing that we have one person in charge. And I know that's something Katie's been talking about even just right now. I don't know if it's like possible to have like a council in charge, not like students council, but like a council of individuals, or yeah, like a board in charge of discussing these things, so that we don't give like authoritarian power to one person. You know, I think that, and it should also have like a fair share of individuals from different walks of life. I think like diversity is super important. I'm not sure who Stephen Dew is entirely. I don't want to make any assumptions, but doesn't sound like a diverse person, but you know, I think those things are important. Katie's laughing right now. Anyways, so yeah, and then another thing too to mention is the 6 months to 2 years thing. I don't know if anyone else saw that. I think with the place of a separate council and criteria put in place, that might be able to reduce the timeline. Also, a separate council for potentially past allegations or even an inquiry into this matter in general would be really important on past, people who've graduated, stuff like that. Sorry to go on. Okay, I have another point just to quickly make. So another thing that she mentioned in her, or sorry, they mentioned in their article is that anonymity, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, is not given to the victim at a certain level, even after the complaint is deemed valid. That's like super disappointing. I don't understand why, like, the potentially the perpetrator could read the respondent and their complaint. So I just I was wondering if we could inquire why that is, why they think that's necessary. And then once the complaint is deemed important, the provost then gets to decide after discussing with the person in like question if they're going to go through an investigation. That's like, I don't even understand why that's a thing. And then meeting with potentially both the parties after the investigation takes place together also just seems like there's a lot of errors in here that I think like each point that she brings up needs to be like investigated and it needs to be questioned, because more or less they're all flawed. So yeah, I don't know, that's just my thoughts. Sorry if I said anything wrong. I care a lot about it too. So yeah, I apologize if I said anything incorrectly, but yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I'm just gonna jump in before VP Cron just to answer you, Simran. Like, totally, I think when you look through that process, like at no point does it seem like the survivors was considered, question mark. It seems like it really is all about how to protect the perpetrator, which like absolutely should be done, but the same should be granted towards the survivor. Even like in terms of cost. About the provost, so yeah, it's one man. His name is Steve Dew. We have nothing against Steve Dew, but it's like, how does one role get to decide all of this? So I think your idea of a board or some sort of group is absolutely right, and it's something that we will be raising. Yeah, again, like, it's nothing against Steve Dew. He's a nice dude, you know. He does good stuff. But yeah, so just wanted to be clear. The problem is that it's just one person, like you identified.
Yeah. Thank you, Katie. Honestly, you know, I get the pleasure of, you know, hearing Katie working on this stuff. Sorry, VP Kid, I don't know if we're dropping that right now. I don't really care. This is too much of a conversation to care about titles. It is wonderful to see the passion that our team is bringing to this, especially Katie within this process. And I just want to thank you, Katie, for the work that you're doing on this. It completely floors me. You know, how aggressor centric or perpetrator centered this process is that is set up for students, and the entire, like, you know, we talk so much here at Council about how policies, bylaws, and all of this stuff, like how it helps to create a culture. Right, the way that we talk about things and the way that we structure our governance creates a culture. And
I don't want to go to a university where the culture is one that doesn't believe people who say that they have been sexually assaulted. I don't really want to be working within a governance system that says that, you know, our experiences don't matter and they want to silence us, especially in this, with this matter. This is a very personal thing. I want council to care. Sorry, I'm being very candid right now, so please forgive me. I want us to care. And I know that we're all, like, everyone in this Zoom call, this room, I know that everyone cares. And I know that this is an issue that you'd literally have to, you know, be heartless to not care about. But I don't just want the university to say, oh yes, this is very important. Like, we need them to move. We need them to care. We need to make them care. And I don't know what that's going to take. If, like Katie says, we're going to have to sit and occupy somebody's office, I will bring coffee and we will sit there for forever if that's what it's going to take. But we need to tell them why they should care and make the university actually care about this process. And so I would ask you folks to bring your fire, you know, bring your passion for this issue. Please don't allow the culture around this to silence you. I mean, obviously these discussions are enclosed. Keep everything that's enclosed enclosed, but like, bring it. You know, I'm ready to bring it. Katie is ready to bring it. And we really want, we want support for this. And so, yeah, I'll shut up now, but thank you for your support. And please, yeah, thanks for showing up.
I'll just quickly say that so far the university has been taking this very seriously in the meetings that we have had with them. Katie and I have met with the Dean of Students, and actually the new president, Bill Flanagan, actually reached out to me and wanted to get a meeting to actually learn about what the issues are. So that's really a huge step that the president himself is coming out here. So Katie and I are going to be meeting with the president and the chief of staff, and we're going to, you know, see how that pans out in the next little while here.
I think I'm next on the list, so I'm just gonna jump in. Updates from my end and my portfolio. Back in, I guess, actually, not even back then, like, the policy updates surrounding experiential learning and sexual violence on working integrated learning semesters has been being worked on pretty full time since we both entered the role, me and Katie. And we actually already have a working group going on in GFC with groups from the provost office as well as legal counsel for the university, where we're going in and we're actively looking at the direct holes in the practicum intervention policy and in the various sexual violence policies, specifically about experiential learning. So just an update on that is the ball is rolling there, and I'm really hopeful to see some very tangible change. So that's something we're going for there. And then off of what has been said before, a lot of concern about how it's so aggressively centered on making everything as easy as possible for the perpetrator and as difficult as possible for the survivor. I'm just gonna come out flat out and say, I genuinely believe that's deliberate. The more difficult it is, the more roadblocks along the way, the more reasons you give somebody to not be able to go through, the more people are gonna fall out. And the more people that fall out, the less things that the university has to do, the less arguments they have to get in with ASHRAE about a tenure, the less public media campaigns they have to go out and talk to try and regain their external reputation. And that's why this is so aggressively important to do, because the way it's structured right now is structured purely from an internal, how can we maintain what's best for this university as a whole without a single ounce of heart or emotion or empathy for any student that goes through it. And that's why we need to change this, because at this point, I am very comfortable to say that it's deliberately made to do so, to made to drown people out, to tire them out. And looking at the conduct of the university, every single year that I've been at this institution, when it comes to lobbying about sexual violence, it's clear that that's their stance. So that's why we can't give up this year, and that's why we need every single person on council there with us. So when it comes time for us to possibly start a riot, maybe not a real riot, but like in that sense, I hope we have all of you behind us, because this is the hill to die on, that we will not stop at all, ever. Ever. So that's that. And then I guess one other thing, even just to showcase how aggressively one-sided this is. When it comes to confidential information in the disclosure process, there's no recourse for the perpetrator leaking that information. This policy is in place if the student leaks it, but if the staff leaks it, nothing happens. There's no recourse, there's no punishment, there's nothing. And I've had students reach out to me saying that they submitted a complaint and the perpetrator found out it was them, and the perpetrator directly went to external sources with their contact information. That's why it's not okay. At all. It's not. And this ends this year.
Counselor Bid, you're next.
Wait, no, it's me.
Actually, yeah, I was going to say, sorry, I think it was Counselor Dillon coming up next year.
Oh my God, sorry, this is why I'm not speaker.
Yeah, okay, sorry. So just first things first, I don't know Stephen Du. I'm sure he's a great guy. That wasn't really my, I guess, intent with saying that is, yeah, going back to what Katie said, it's one person, and I searched him up, so now I'm not assuming anything, but he is a white man. And, you know, do we really get diverse and inclusive voices involved in that decision making? No. You know, no matter if he's a good guy or not, you know. So we need a board that's more representative of students at our school. And, you know, that's important. Just kind of going on to, I know Joel or President Agarwal mentioned something about the UBC Sexual Violence Prevention and Response Office. So I just quickly like searched it up. There's some like pretty amazing stuff on here, like arranging academic concessions or extensions, you know, finding a safe place for you to stay, coordinating workplace accommodations, arranging leave, explaining all of your reporting options. These are something that we do not have in place, even remotely. Do we even have a way for people to find a place to stay if, let's say, the person that they're, you know, that maybe perpetrated violence towards them was at their residence? Do we have like additional places that they could stay? Going back to that experiential learning thing, you know, like I work at a lab. I'm sure there's so many people here that work in different situations. If they're PI or they're, you know, whoever, could they get workplace accommodations? Is that even something that we've looked like? Is that something that the U of A does? So I think those are some really interesting things. And I don't know if I can see David shaking his head, so I'm going to safely assume no, which is super disappointing. And then kind of like, I know I'm speaking a little bit fast, but I kind of just want to get through what just some of the things that I wrote. But I obviously think that this is an extremely important topic, and I think that, you know, we all have very vested interest in this, and, you know, we're passionate about helping others. That's why we decided to sit here and talk about this. But I guess the thing that we all have to decide now is what do we do moving into action so that this doesn't get delayed any longer? And so I guess my question then is at the moment, because I don't know, and I think potentially VP Draper touched on this, is there an advocacy group in place at the moment working towards this? I know you said something about GFC, but I kind of missed it, unfortunately.
Yes, so Joel mentioned it a bit earlier too with what's happening with the university, and then there's also the separate one for GFC, and that's mostly just focused on experiential learning. I think I saw Katie just try and hop in on there. Sorry for interrupting you. Go for it, Katie.
Go ahead, Katie, sorry.
It's okay. So I think we're thinking about this in stages, and I want to be like pretty clear about that. We're like a preemptive one, you know? Right now we have this committee being formed. It feels like the university is reacting positively, but we have told them that we will be going public if there is not enough action. And we've made that very clear. In September, we're gonna be launching an education campaign. And that's, I think, when we, just about sexual violence, about consent, about, you know, all these different things. I think at that stage, what we'd ask from you, and I can absolutely give more clarity closer to, is to like reshare those things, to be involved. When we will need like a group is if we feel the university is not moving fast enough and we are moving to be a protest action, a more public action, that will need to be organized rather, not quickly, but we will need to organize. And that's kind of like a key time. I don't actually have them today, and I can go into close, you know, every meeting to share updates if that's what people would like. But I'm going to try and put together a timeline of critical success indicators so that we know when we would, you know what I mean? So we can tell kind of how this is going and what we feel the process is going and if we will need to move more public. So I guess for for actual changes, this committee is the big one. GFC, we have September. BOG, we have September. Rowan is working through cause for the government angle. CORA, the Council of Residents Association, has also taken this up for an advocacy issue. So there's quite a few things happening in September along with that educational campaign. For what I can ask of you guys, it's just for now to be ready. I'm still just not sure what the public campaign could look like. I'll get there within the next few weeks. We're just kind of like at stage one, if that makes sense. Joel might be able to make this a little more eloquent.
No, I was plus one everything Katie's saying. I will say that I think generally, I think the approach I like to take is working collaboratively first, because I think right now the conversations we've had with the university have been pretty fruitful. They've been very receptive. The president has taken a keen interest in actually meeting with us and hearing what the concerns are. And I think, you know, if you look at the history of the UASU, a lot of the major wins that we've had in the past couple of years, for example, have been through like really collaborative conversations. That being said, you know, we need to be able to take action when things fail in the first step, as Katie mentioned. Simran, you mentioned the UBC model. There is a document that I can share with people if they want afterwards, actually, but it's essentially the job description, and some of the responsibilities are things that we need right now at the U of A. It's everyone knows here that the U of A is a very decentralized organization, and part of the academic restructuring and administrative restructuring may actually pose a window of opportunity to maybe even consolidate some of the campus sexual violence related offices into one sort of consolidated area. So right now we have the campus, we have the sexual assault center, we have the Office of Safe Disclosure and Human Rights, and then we have HR. So those are three separate sort of offices, and one proposal, one model, and this is very like draft, this is just a proposal, there have been talks about this, so there's nothing solidified, but it might be an opportunity to bring those together so there's clear communication. So in terms of the UBC director, campus sexual violence prevention or office, some of the responsibilities, I'll read out a couple of them, are really specific and really centralized. So the first responsibility, for example, is lead the sexual violence prevention and response office in developing strategies for implementing clear procedures, processes, and protocols and best practices across all aspects of prevention and responding programming. That's something that U of A needs to develop and have a stronger reporting mechanism as well. Lead the development of the university action plan and accountability framework in partnership with a diverse range of on and off campus stakeholders to reduce incidents of sexual violence and sexual misconduct.
lead the development of individual and institutional competencies in trauma-informed and inclusive approaches, ensure continued development and implementation of comprehensive prevention strategies, coordinate the development of a 24/7 sexual violence and misconduct response protocol, establish, maintain comprehensive management systems. So there's a whole slew of what this job description does that are at the U of A. There's just various different positions that do some of them that we don't even actually have. So I think that's one angle we can also take. And Katie and I actually have a meeting with Bill Flanagan and some other folks from University Admin later this week, where we're going to be bringing these asks tangibly to the university and saying, hey, this is what we think is important. And which is also part of why we wanted to bring this to council, was to give you an sort of an information update, but also see what your thoughts are on the matter.
Excellent. Okay, going down the list here. Our next person set up to speak here is Councillor Bid.
Yeah. I really want to thank VP Kidd for sharing the story, and no one should go through such a thing. And if they do, they shouldn't suffer in trying to defend what they went through. The perpetrators are the ones who should be having a difficult time defending themselves, not the survivors. So I totally agree with Councillor Dillon that there's only one person who's in charge of this. At every point, like from the 18 points, the provost can intervene at any time and dismiss the case, and that's the end of the story. And it shouldn't be like that. There should be a board. There should be someone, not just, there should, just like the EDI, it should be well represented by everyone. There should be people from all walks of life. And there's also a point somewhere that they say that if in 6 months nothing happens, the record is removed from the file. That just means that every 6 months someone can commit a crime and they can walk free after that. That's totally, that's just foolish. That shouldn't be the case. If there is a record, it should be maintained so that someone knows that they can't go, they can't walk away from such a thing. And I'm really happy that we're having this conversation. This should be addressed and this should be stopped, and it shouldn't be in the power of one person to decide the outcome of such a case. Yeah, I'm done. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. Vice President Lay, go ahead.
Thanks, Jared. So I just thought I would share a couple of points to give you some context as counselors and help you think about what we should do moving forward. Some of it's already been addressed a little bit, but I'm going to add a couple new things and add a bit of a new angle on it. So the university, as in administrators and central admin, basically care first and foremost about the reputation of the university to the public, basically because this reflects on their careers and them personally in the media. So they care a lot about that. That's what they'll protect above all else. ASHUA, which is the academic union, and just professors sometimes more generally protect their own. That's a union's job. We protect our own members too, but they cannot necessarily be trusted to be friends on this. And the reason I talk about this is because it's not just the lack of diversity in Steve Dew or the fact that he's one person that makes this a problem. It's that all these different factions in the university, it's about politics and it's about fighting for their own interests. And justice for someone who is a survivor of sexual violence can't be about factional politics inside the university. It has to be about addressing what happened and what is justice in that situation. So I think that the most important thing is having independence for the people who make these decisions and making sure that they're thinking about justice and not about the university's reputation and not about protecting professors. So if we're talking about a council or a board or something, then having more people and having diversity is good, but keep in mind that you don't solve those basic problems that are built in, and it'll just end up being another venue where professors and administration and the various factions in the university fight out their various issues. So there are some other things that would have to be addressed. And just another one small piece of context is the reason why partly we have this window of opportunity right now is the U of A cares a lot about its reputation right now, more than usually, because of the provincial cuts and because of the post-secondary review. So this year is kind of a golden opportunity where we have more leverage than we'll ever have because they're terrified about people going to the media and them looking bad. So that's another reason why it's got to be urgent and we can't really squander it. And the one last thing I'll mention is this government has failed students in many, many, many ways, but they're actually not terrible on campus sexual violence as an issue. They've addressed this as a priority a few times, and if it really comes to that, then we'll probably have them on our side. If we have to go to them to talk about this, they will side with us over the university administration if this issue is not addressed. So there's another avenue for us to bring in a pretty powerful ally there.
Excellent. Councillor Oliveira?
First, I would like to thank Katie again for bringing this up and fighting for it. It's super important and I'm so grateful. And I have a quick question, and I'm so sorry if it's already been touched on, but is this the same process if the perpetrator is a student as well? If it's like true students? Okay. Yeah.
No, sorry for everyone who can't see me. That's handled completely differently. The university has been like overhauling that system quite a bit, but they have not touched this prof one at all. I think a lot of the past VP student lives have done a lot of work advocating to fix that system. It's still not perfect, but it's something the university, I would say, is consistently trying to fix more than they are the profs. If that makes sense. So basically, no, it's two separate ways of handling it. Both were initially atrocious. There has been movement on the student versus student side. That will always be an advocacy point for us, I think. But the prof one is so awful that it's something that we need movement on this year. And we have a very, very small time frame because this contract, I think, negotiates every like 4 years, 2 years, maybe 2 to 4 years. I can't remember off my top of my head. So we want to do it as quickly as possible to make sure it gets done this year so we don't have to wait.
I think that's me now. Very hard stuff. Thank you to everyone who shared. So we've had a lot of vagueness, and we've had some specificity, which I've appreciated, because I think we see this in all the problems we encounter with the university as a student body or as a young adult population, where we begin to just hate the university and whatever they're doing. And this is not to invalidate any issue that comes forward because these are real issues. But I think if we can narrow down to whatever it is, and I guess we have to choose columns on this and what this looks like, but you know, if it's specific departments or professors or a specific piece of administration that's very clearly letting this fly, or and not to necessarily vilify these people, but to target for advocacy, right? Even as Joel said, I really appreciate the idea too, especially if the university is being receptive. Let's sit down and really push there. And yes, we have several good points of leverage, whether it's the external government or going public with these issues. That's good. But what I'm trying to figure out is, like, maybe I'm just too young and not corrupt yet. I don't know. But I wonder, like, when we're considering sexual violence and we're considering, okay, what is the university prioritizing besides identity? Like how would it, so for the university at maybe administrative, professional, like larger level, okay, someone commits this thing, it gets reported. Why can't you just out the professor and say, look, we don't stand for that as a university, because pretty sure the public would applaud that. And of course the students would applaud that, given in these kind of scenarios, there are often other variables too. We don't know all the variables of these things, and that makes it very complex as well. But then the same kind of question towards Ashua is like, why are you trying to protect a sexual predator? Why? Maybe someone can answer that for me. What are the other variables I'm missing here? Because it just seems like, I mean, yeah, we're throwing around lots of terms right now, us in this conversation, where we're saying, you know, this big group of people are very bad, they're doing very bad things. But is it really as simple as grown people just not caring about the well-being of people younger than them? What are the vested interests they have? How can we understand this better?
I think, Dave, to answer a few of your questions, I guess. One, ASHWA is going to protect professors. There's a few comments in the chat that I agree with. That's like their inherent job, and to be fair, if you are wrongly accused of sexual violence, you deserve to have a very fair trial. I am not trying to say that we inherently, like, there should be some sort of justice for anyone who is either falsely accused or who is a survivor. The university, like, I think something I've learned in this role, is the university doesn't like to be sued, and they would get sued by profs. I think there is an aspect of, you know, protecting them from that, protecting their public reputation, especially by outing a prof. That is absolutely a lawsuit that could happen. Tangibles, it's very hard to answer that question because the problem is the whole fucking system. The whole system, it honestly feels like was built without thinking about survivors. It was built about thinking about how to protect a university and how to protect profs. And I don't think, let's like be very clear, I think there are administrators who genuinely want to work on this issue and genuinely want to fix this issue. I also think there's administrators who don't. I think there's profs who want this to change and would be appalled by this agreement. And I think there's profs that aren't. No one in this situation is the bad guy except for the perpetrator. The problem is the university, in their reluctance to create changes that would ruffle feathers, that would change the status quo, the focus for them is on maintaining the university, maintaining relationships, maintaining the public reputation. It's not on helping students. And I think, because at the end of the day, it's really easy to silence someone who is a sexual violence survivor. It is so easy, right? I'm standing in front of you telling you that I will never go public with my story because I am very worried about my public reputation. So it's just easier for them, for people to stay silent, and then they don't have to address these claims, right? Because this is systemic change is not easy. It comes from you have to look at every aspect of this university and find out what is wrong. You have to look at every prof, you have to look at every relationship and make sure that it's consensual. We've talked about that in our ask document. And for the university, that is a lot of work, and it's a lot of risk to their public reputation, and it's a lot of risk with their agreements with the profs, and it's a lot of risks for being sued. So I don't think that they're villains. It's just, if no one is saying anything, why bother? And we need to get rid of that attitude. So I hope that kind of helps address your question. If you want to talk to me more personally outside of this, just because it is getting pretty late, I'd be happy to meet.
Okay, I think it's my turn. I just want to say first, I get really anxious when there's discussions like this, because I feel like sometimes I'm going to have like the proper vocabulary to speak about things like this sometimes. But like, then again, I like just have to remind myself that when I ran for council, I told everyone, like my faculty, that I was going to like come in with a fearless voice. So here I am. Like, I'm not going to say that everything I have to say is accurate. I probably is all wrong, but this is just my hot take and everything. To address what Councillor Dillon said, I agree with her. I think we need to employ a multi-sector approach. I believe it takes multiple perspectives and areas of expertise to address a complicated health and safety issue like sexual violence. I think we need to utilize a campus community, which is already made up of multiple disciplines and sectors, which can be leveraged to create prevention-focused community response teams. I think we also need institutionalized prevention. Institutionalized prevention means that prevention is an integrated priority into the campus organizational framework. I think we need to make prevention a part of everyone's job on campus from students to staff and administrators. There should be a common language around prevention. I think questions that we need to start asking are our leadership, staff, students talking about primary prevention, our leadership and staff knowledge about primary prevention concepts and principles. Are prevention messages and policies a part of the fabric of the university and its communication? So that's the first part I have to say. I don't know if that made any sense, but it made sense in my ESL brain. Second, this is a controversial and hot take for my behalf, but I just feel like we need to reach out to media as well as utilize our social media to address that, to address this if the university doesn't do enough. Doesn't put enough emphasis on the situation. Social media could also be a great way for the university to publish a substantive apology as well. I think being cooperative, on behalf of the university, being cooperative is simply not enough. There needs to be actual changes done in collaboration with the university. So when I hear the university's been very good with discussions, it's not enough for me. I think they need to be like not just listening, but they need to start doing more things. I think for the longest time, one of the issues is the fact that these voices of these survivors have not been heard. Rather, it is dealt with silently and it feels like their story is not valid. And that's why these survivors don't feel safe and supported enough to come out with their stories until years and years later. If there's time to take a huge step into making tangible changes, I think it is now. And I believe by resorting to social media and the media, it will put pressure on the university to deal with this immediately, rather than having it on a back burner like it's been for the past years, as Katie had mentioned, maybe even fucking decades. So that's all I have to say. I don't know if it made sense, but it made sense in my brain.
Okay, so I think I'm next. I just want to say I totally agree with what you said, Counselor Yabut. I'm so sorry. I'm really bad at pronouncing names, but I hope I didn't completely botch that. Okay, so a couple things. So I want to go back into what I was saying before into like feasible action. And I know that's something that I think David Conrad mentioned. Could be wrong. And so I did some searching in the meantime. And I think that a huge mode of action could be making resources more available. So for example, and for reference, I went onto the UBC website or the UBC sexual violence and prevention website. And it's very straightforward. I click on make a complaint on their website, gives me a timeline of each of the steps and what they require. And then it also gives me what steps I can withdraw a complaint. I think all those information pieces are extremely important. I then Google searched U of A sexual assault, the same thing I did with UBC. The first resource available is a sexual assault center. I can't find a link or find a resource on how to make a report. I can find the phone number and what sort of supports that they can provide. I could be missing something in that, but for me, it hasn't been blatantly obvious on how I can report something through there. So please correct me if I'm wrong. Okay, and then the second thing is how to actually go about doing a sexual violence information and resources from the University of Alberta website. After that, it's just a bunch of news reports. So when I clicked onto that, you have to click onto a separate entity which goes into complaints of sexual violence. It then takes me through a really confusing graph and table. You know, I don't even know what it means, so I would love to tell you more about it, but I can't. It also then says best contact methods in like capital locks letters, and it literally says to sum it up, email appropriate office. My first reaction was, who's the appropriate office to contact and what is their contact information? It doesn't give me that information. And then when you go straight to the bottom, and keep in mind, I've done a bunch of clicking in this time, it then gives me online reporting tool right at the bottom. First, I want to ask where these complaints are going to and how often this inbox is checked. Because I'm not going to lie, it kind of looks old, but that could also be me and my 19-year-old self having high expectations out of technology. But, you know, that is me. So this tool took some time to even find. I think accessibility is a huge problem. And then sort of like another point is even on the UASU website, it doesn't link to the sexual assault center or any links on resources. So you click on the UASU website, student services. I've been like scanning it. It doesn't have that. I could be wrong. No, it doesn't have it. So I think, you know, that's important to put on there too. Even if we want to link that information, have a resource or a pamphlet in there, that's important. I think maybe our first mode of action is accessibility of how to make a report. That was really long-winded, but thank you for listening.
So then Councillor Potang was next here.
Awesome. Thank you. Councillor Dillon for basically reading my mind of what my preamble was going to be, because as I'm trying to gain experience in the policy committee, I find that as we try to do research and see what the University of Alberta offers in terms of like services, like with the health and wellness policy, they just basically throw you around with a bunch of links to different websites that never really go anywhere. And so, yeah, I can imagine, you know, just trying to navigate this system when you're already traumatized, it's scary as hell. And so my question to Katie was that you mentioned that, so we're kind of in like the preliminary stages of dealing with this issue. Just wondering, is there like a plan, like a strategic plan, like just out there of like what you intend to do and just like what and how can we as counselors help? And in terms of advocacy, is there a way we can go back to like our own faculties and kind of bring this up? Because with like structural changes like this, you've got the top down where, you know, the execs are dealing with the people up top, like the president and the vice provost, but there's also the bottom up aspect, you know, where we can rally around the community and do as much as we can. So I'm just wondering what role can we as counselors do here while you guys are working hard to make that change at the top?
Yeah, I can answer that right now. So, okay, so absolutely, Simran, the website's fucked, to say the least. I'm not saying this is going to be acted on, but one of the ideas we floated around is like literally setting up a test where we ask different students not to make a complaint, but to just see if they could figure out how to make a complaint based on the website. We'll see. to your direct question, okay, I think I'll be honest. You guys know me. I'm just going to be myself and be blunt, and that is the way I talk. I want to go public. I want to burn the whole thing down. It is my gut reaction because I don't think doing it behind closed doors has worked. However, I am very worried that if we do that right now, the university is going to just shut down. I'm worried that they won't address this the way we want them to. So it has to be very strategic the way we act going forward. So yeah, do I want to go to the media and be like, look at what the fuck is happening here? Absolutely. But instead, I'm going to just start with an education campaign, because then the university is going to look at that and be like, holy shit, they're actually talking about sexual violence. They're following through, right? It'll just be like a warning, basically. If we are going to have a protest, if this is going to be a big thing, if the university is not getting anywhere, I'm going to want us to know pretty fast, because I want us to be very well organized. The thing, like you guys might not know, there's been numerous protests for this position and they haven't gone anywhere. So if it does become a very public thing, and I do need you all, and I need it to be a big deal, I will come to you immediately, and I will come to you probably within the next month, month and a half. However, I know that's not very satisfying, because I've basically just laid out a huge issue for you all, and now you're like, okay, what can we do to help? So for next week, I can try and come. We can do a closed session again. I can update you with anything that's happened within the next 2 weeks, and I can try and lay out a plan that will have you guys involved, but involved just enough, if that makes sense, that we're not really stirring the pot quite yet, but we're getting ready to knock the pot over. I have a few ideas for that, but I just need to like really make sure they're well thought out. Yeah, the element is on. Oh man, metaphors. We're turning up the heat. We're getting ready to like to boil. I hate metaphors. I don't know where this is going. But the point is I need this to be a slow peak. It can't just immediately come out swinging, because I don't know if it'll get enough traction. And I've been in contact with Alex, who wrote these articles, and they are very worried that this will just go away. So we need to be very careful I can't disappoint them, and I won't. So I know this might seem like an action to you. I know that if I was a counselor and an exec was telling me this, I'd be like, okay, what the fuck? What are you doing? But I promise you, I am taking this very, very, very seriously. But we just need to be strategic. So I will bring a bit more of a comprehensible plan and kind of guiding documents for next council, if everyone is okay with that.
Excellent. Thank you, Vice President Kidd. I see that Councillor Berezesh is left on the speakers list here, and we are coming into 9 o'clock. Councillor Berezesh, the floor is yours.
Thank you. I'll be really quick. I really want to talk about this. I just find this so disgusting, to be quite frank. And I'm sorry if I'm not being super diplomatic, but Councillor Dillon, the reporting process is ridiculous on many levels. The fact that you really can't navigate and figure out what you're supposed to do. Also, I think Alex kind of talked a little bit about her reporting and the fact that like she had to talk to this person. It's just, it seems like it's adding to the trauma almost a little bit to me. And it's just, this is not taking the survivors into account whatsoever. And we definitely just need to work on that, as you guys have all mentioned. And the heartbreaking thing for me during all of this has been that, I mean, I'm not surprised, but it's just sad. It's that the university, their loyalty is to the profs. And it's repeatedly been proven to us. And, the fact that students don't even get representation, whereas the profs get representation from the association and all these things. And it's just, it's ridiculous. At the very least, they should have this access to this resource when going through the process. And for me personally, reading the articles, to me, the punishment does not fit the crime. You know, a level one, sexual assault is considered a level one, they get reprimanded, and after 6 months, if there isn't any other complaints, it's taken off of the prof's file, and it just evaporates. And that's ridiculous, because a survivor deals with this for months, years, who knows? I mean, Alex talks about her dealing with PTSD, and this prof gets a letter that they probably are just like, oh, this will go away, who cares? And then, you know, I find this so disgusting. And I think that at the very least, students deserve to know a little bit more information about the people that they're trusting, because I'll be quite frank, I really trust my profs, and I consider them mentors. And I think if, you know, you're trusting the wrong people, it's just not fair to the survivor. It's not fair to other students who are interacting with those profs. And I don't know how we're going to go about that, but ridiculous. Anyways, I'm really sorry to take up your time, and thank you for.
That was very well said, Councillor Berezesh. Seeing nobody else on the speakers list, Vice President Kidd, do you want to take a minute to sort of wrap this up, and then I'll take attendance quickly before we adjourn?
Yeah, okay. First thing, completely off topic, but I need someone to tell me this last year, and I want to tell every woman this. Please do not apologize for taking up space at council. Please do not apologize for saying your opinion. Please do not apologize for making mistakes if they are well-intentioned or saying something incorrectly. You deserve to be here. You deserve to say whatever you want. The amount of random shit I've said at council that made no sense, that everyone just had to listen to, take up the space, because at the end of the day, we want to hear from you, even when you don't feel that way, even when your voice shakes, even when you cry, we want to hear from you. So please, please don't feel that you have to apologize. Even if we have to extend the fucking meeting, I don't care. And sorry for swearing so much. taking from this, I will update you all with a tangible timeline, kind of what I could use from you, how we can move forward as a group, as well as how me and Joel, as well as the other VPs, will be moving forward in our different areas, especially with GFC. Come September, that I think will be a lot of engagement from the members of council who are also on GFC. I'll also update you about how our meeting with Bill goes. Basically, right as of right now, I have like a list of people I have who have sent me questions that I update with what we're doing, and I will just add you all to my update list, as well as making sure that I, you know, I see all of your passion and that we can put it to something productively. I really appreciate everyone who has supported me. This is a very hard issue to talk about, but it's not, it needs to be discussed. It can't be silenced anymore. And I will continue to talk about it until they drag me out. So thank you everyone. I will really work on those tangibles for our next meeting. If you have any other questions, comments, if you want to meet with me, I don't have anything else going on in my life, so please reach out and I will make time. It's really important to me that you all know how this is going, because I want this to be a transparent effort, so, and one that is really done by coalition. So yeah, besides that, I know Joel just wanted to say one last thing, and then we'll move out of camera and be done for this evening.
Yeah, I just wanted to plus one everything Katie said, and thank everyone for being a part of this conversation. I know it is not easy. It is not an easy discussion. It's not an easy topic to discuss and talk about. But I think that, you know, we are all bringing our voices. We're bringing the experiences and working very well on this issue. I think that, and as Katie mentioned, we will definitely be keeping you folks in the loop. If you need to talk about this, if this has been a challenging conversation for you, if this is something that's been difficult for you, definitely reach out to Katie, myself, or any of the execs. We'd be happy to chat. We'd be happy to hear you. So do that. But I do want to thank everyone. With that, I will motion to move out of camera. And then pass it on to Mr. Speaker.
Excellent. Thank you, President Agarwal. I'll just grab a secondary from the crowd. Thank you, Vice President Draper. So with that, we'll just move into a final attendance before we kick things off into adjournment. President Agarwal.
Present.
Vice President Draper.
Present.
Vice President Lay.
Present.
Vice President Kron.
Present.
Vice President Kidd.
Present.
Bog Representative Conrad.
Hey.
Councillor Carbajal. Perfect. Councillor Dixon. He's not here. Councillor DeGrano.
Here.
Thank you. Councillor Marquise. Councillor Marquise, are you still here? Councillor Oliveira.
Councillor Marquise messaged me. I think he just lost some internet.
Oh, okay, I'll put him down. Councillor Oliveira was here. Councillor Veloso. Perfect. Councillor Yaboot.
Here.
Perfect. Councillor Berhani. Councillor Suretsky.
Present.
Thank you. Councillor Ackerman was not here. Councillor Baticki.
Here.
Councillor Bid.
Yeah.
Councillor Bowes. Councillor Bowes, are you still here? Councillor Hariharan. Perfect.
Perfect.
Oh, perfect. Councillor Bowes, I've got you noted here. Councillor Montero.
Here.
Perfect. Councillor Buchanan.
Present.
Thank you. Councillor Filipovich. Not here. Councillor or proxy for Councillor Brandwine. Perfect. Councillor Enerson. Perfect. Councillor Badesha. Councillor Barazesh.
Here.
Thank you. Councillor Dillon.
Here.
Thank you. Councillor Fotang.
Here.
Councillor Kamani. Councillor Corday, both absent. I myself am here and Mark is not. So that will complete attendance today.
thank you all for a great council session. It was a very fulsome discussion and closed. Just as a reminder to everybody, we do have another council meeting coming up on the 28th. But until then, I will bid you all farewell. Good luck at the committees in the upcoming weeks, and I will see everybody again in 2 weeks. But have a great night, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Take care, folks.
Yeah, everybody.